A warning to everybody listening, and that includes you listening. Wendy's voice is gone. Where's your voice? What happened to your voice? It's gone.
I blew it out this weekend.
Can you say why? Is it okay to say why?
I don't know how I did it. I yelled at the boys, but I didn't think it was any louder than usual.
The same amount of yelling?
Yeah.
No more, no less?
I don't know why boys physically fight. Is that common for brothers to physically fight?
Were you getting
fight?
A lot of that this weekend?
No, just one time.
Yeah.
In and out.
Punching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do boys do that typically? I've never, you know, I had a brother and a sister. Actually, they used to physically fight.
They did too? Yeah.
Yeah, every once in a while. You
so
know,
is it better to have the physical fighting? Because I think girls play more of a mental game, right?
I'd rather they do the mental game. Because little kids are now little men, and it's hard to break up.
Sure. I bet whatever they were fighting over was something important, wasn't it?
I don't know. One kid wanted to put another thing in the other kid's room, and it's like, don't go in my room, and then...
Right.
And yeah, that's important.
The then one was pushed,
out.
And then that's
one hit
when
a ball
it
in the lake.
Yeah, all of these contribute.
I don't like boys.
All boys?
I talk to people who have boys, and they say, yeah. And it's weird because you know you'll have kids that physically fight, and then they'll lay next to each other on the couch in an L-shaped position, or they're cuddling, playing their video games. But it's just
right.
I mean. I don't know how boys work.
My mom used to say to us, I should just go buy a referee outfit and wear that around the house all the time.
She would have looked adorbs.
Well, you know, there was a shoe store near us where that was what you wore. So she could have got a part-time job, sold shoes, come home, worn the uniform, and everybody would have been happy.
Was it an athlete's foot or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
I always wanted to work there because I thought the outfit was cute.
But I think boys are just strung so heavily that the smallest thing, especially at that age, like during those teenage years, you go to school and it's crazy, and you come home and then it's crazy.
And one's going through puberty now, and one's a teenager,
that.
And I'm menopausal. I'm surprised Jim hasn't moved out.
I saw some apartment listings circled in the office. I don't know if those were his or not.
But you know the physicality, though? It's like... I have noticed this with boys. If they do come to physical fighting or something,
right.
It's over in a second. It's like it's solved.
Yeah.
And you're right. Girls seem to like pick and pick.
It lingers a lot more, doesn't it?
And emotionally screw you up. I just am not used to this.
Yeah. Well, get used to it because you're in for years of it. It's
no,
not going to go
it
away.
End when they grow up? Do boys ever grow up?
Oh, well, yeah, it'll get better, but I don't know what it was. I remember every once in a while it was terrible, but we would get into some sort. And you know,
like fisticuffs?
Yeah, not often. And I'll tell you exactly when it stopped. I could give you the day that it stopped. I realized at one point, I'm 2.5 years older than my brother. And at some point, he became bigger than me, and that's when I decided this fighting must end. We can't have any more fighting because he would have beat me.
It's just wrong. We need to put this behind
right.
us. Right.
Let the past be the past.
That is true, and the little one's about my height now, so he will soon be coming up on the older one.
That's when, if you're the older brother, you realize it's you figure it out, and you go, well, I had some dominance there. I had some good years.
But
now
it's over.
We can't continue this. Let's find an Accord.
Or
any Honda vehicle would have worked, yeah.
So it's normal for them. And it's not all the time. It's every once in a while. But
it flares up quick, though.
Jim happens to be out with the dog every time this happens.
Oh, how convenient.
I know. I think they wait.
Right.
Because he would like separate them, no problem.
Right.
But they're like little men.
Well, that's the problem is you're going to end up getting hurt in this.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. But it ended very quickly, and it, you know, and it's so funny because they go, Mom, could you not get involved? We're sorting this out. And I said, well, if that's how you sort it out.
Yeah, that's not the way
That's
to
not
do
the
it.
Way.
Right.
But it was seriously over in like 30 seconds.
Oh, that's not
Had
bad.
I just stayed away, but I, you know.
Well, you see guys punching at
I
each other.
That's why I can't watch Cops. I don't like when people hit each other.
Right.
So I yelled one time, and there's my voice. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Well, taxi driver, Bob. I do school transportation. I'm school bus certified, even though I drive a minivan. And I take six school kids in the morning. And two of the boys within the group of six kids, and they're all in early grade school, so you can imagine, they get into it with one another. I had to separate them last week so they wouldn't hit each other in the car. But they're still being loud. And today, in particular, one of the kids used the phrase that's used in feminine hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
And I did
that word is still popular.
Epilady?
Yeah.
No.
It's not epilady? I thought it was. Oh, sorry.
No, it's not. And so I texted the parents of the child proceeded to let her know about what the kid had said that she would make a mention of it to the kid, but she said that I should tell the kid that he wouldn't be able to ride anymore if he kept on saying that, basically passing off the parenting onto me,
yeah.
Which is not my deal. It's their deal. And, you know, it's just and these kids are young, so, you know, the kid's saying this, and the other kids are picking up on it and thinking it's cool and funny, and it's just always a, you know, it's a tough, I'm glad I'm not a parent, that's all I gotta say, but it's tough, you know, when you're transporting six kids at one time like that. There's always seems to be one or two kids that are, you know, get out of hand, and you just have to, you know, to keep them back in line. So
I guess the good news is they do this at home and not in public. So
that's better.
Thank you so much, Taxi Driver Bob. Does everybody have to have a moniker?
You
when
should
they
have
call
some
in?
Sort of a prefix. Yes, yes.
Talk show host Bill,
hey,
do we have to
me.
Take a break?
We do, as a matter of fact. A quick break, more show coming your way next. It's us, it's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN. What's wrong with boys? Wendy's sons, Frazier and Ali, had a little bit of a scrap-up this weekend.
Seriously, if I could just stay out of it, it was over and done with in less than a minute, probably 30 seconds, and then we got in a car and drove to my niece's house in Lake Zurich.
No incidents?
None.
How about that?
So maybe I should stay out of it, but it's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, right.
Linda, do you have boys? Do they fight? What's going on with these guys?
Okay, Wendy, good morning. I have two boys. They're 18 and 20, and when they were younger, they fought all the time. And I used to say they were best friends when they weren't killing each other. And now they are best friends, and they don't fight anymore. In fact, they're so sweet. The older one away at college, when he comes home, the two of them greet each other with hugs. They hang out. It's really wonderful. And I come from a family of six kids, four of which were boys, and three of them older than me, and watched a lot of fighting. And today, again, they are really close. So It will get better, but it's just those tough periods while they work out their manliness, you know, beat their chest and...
You know, that is what it is, though, because you got one who's hitting puberty, one's a young teen, and then Jimmy Mack. And seriously, all of a sudden, Jim and I have realized we don't have, like, little boys anymore.
Right.
They're young men. So that is what they're doing.
It is. But they do get over it, and that's the good news. And I'm in a situation like you with three boys in the house, counting my husband, and had to get a female dog to kind of counterbalance that all that testosterone.
Yeah, even my dog is a boy.
Oh, man.
I didn't plan that.
That's a lot. Sure.
Yeah, maybe next time a girl.
All right, maybe.
So, love you guys. Thanks for taking my call, and Wendy, it will get better.
Thanks, Linda.
Appreciate it. Look who's on the line.
A celebrity. A famous mom.
I remember Judy and I had this conversation once with girlfriends.
Yeah.
And we went to, what injuries did you suffer? The hands of your brother? Are you there? And brothers break each other's bones.
Yeah.
And they love each other. It's not that it's like testosterone and age, and it just is.
Kathy O'Malley, the voice of reason, and you gave me a great idea. I'm going to give them estrogen from now on.
There you go. And they can, never mind.
But Kathy, it is, I mean, for years, it becomes like a WWE event in your living room all the time. I don't
totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Any other girl girlfriends who called who had brothers about the same age. It was so common, and the only time that they became really concerned was when there was a broken bone.
That's when it gets serious. Wow.
All right. Well, at least I'm not alone.
Wow.
All right.
Thanks, Kathy. Have a good time. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. I feel like, you know, I'm the only one who's going through
this.
Oh,
no.
Evidently. Hey, Joe? Joey.
Joe's brother is holding him back so he can't talk on the phone.
Joe, are you there? All it says here is, Joe, mom would break windows.
What does that mean?
Kevin, do you recall what was happening
mean?
There?
I think it was like in an effort to get them to stop.
She would break her own window?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's fun. Then you got angry boys and jagged glass in the same room. That couldn't go bad, could it?
I love to play that on my smartphone, the angry boys.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Hey, Nance.
Hey. Well, I have three sons and a husband and a daughter who's essentially an alien. So I have, really, I am living in a good old boys club. The oldest boy is extremely athletic, all of his athletic and hard, heavy metal. The next guy is athletic, but more of a evenly distributed music taste. They do get along. They really do, but they know each other's differences. And so they're both married now and have kids. I see them sort of disagreeing on the same things they disagreed with when they were younger. But I'm telling you, when I talk to them collectively, I look like the Antichrist. I look like I have an eyeball in the middle of my forehead. They treat me like I am completely out of it.
Oh, no.
And I have nothing to stand on. Nothing.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's just, I just basically go in my bedroom and pound my head on the wall.
That's all you can do.
Nancy, we should go have a drink and talk about it.
Yeah, we should. We should go to the same therapist, though.
Oh, good. Well, thank you, Nance. Hang in there.
Thank you.
Get some mascara for that third eye.
Explain this to me. My dad was off on Sundays when I was growing up, and he wasn't used to my brother and I fighting because if he was at work, he didn't know if we were fighting. He'd get a report when he'd get home. So if we fought on a Sunday, instead of just coming and breaking us up, he'd make us sit on either side of him and watch television with him. And what do you think he was watching? Wrestling.
Well, that's not the
that's
good
the
teaching
worst
moment.
Thing, right? We don't allow fighting in this house. Now sit down and watch wrestling with me.
Gorgeous George is on.
All right. I know.
All right. Well, I apologize for my voice. I'll lubricate it today, and I'll let him fight it out.
Yep.
It too shall pass.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fine. All right. Let's take a quick break. Steve has the news and then more show coming your way next, including a father who did something above and beyond the call to pay for his daughter's college education.
Something you would not do.
Never in a million years. Wouldn't happen. We'll explain more next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Al Sanders is a man after my own heart, Wendy. This isn't just a collector of comic books. This is a super collector. This is a man who has dedicated his life to collecting comic books, an incredible vast collection that numbers about 5,000 vintage comic books. Iron Man, X-Men, Batman, Lucas Cage, Hero for Hire. The list goes on and on and on and on. Al Sanders, how long have you been collecting comic books, sir?
I collected comic books starting when I was in grade school and collected them for close to 30 years.
How about that?
Do you have the original Archie?
No, Archie was my sister's.
See, Archie was good with the women.
Superhero.
Yep. And DC and Marvel, right? You don't discriminate. It's DC and Marvel and maybe some independents as well.
Actually, the independents, when I stopped collecting, the independents were just starting. So they were strictly DC and Marvel.
All right.
Did you have the big, long white boxes, and did you put everyone in a plastic bag with the cardboard and then a piece of scotch tape? That's pretty fun to do.
Well, I did have them in the plastic bags. I did not put the cardboard behind a lot of them, and I had 8 long boxes and a couple of regular grocery boxes full of books.
Why are you speaking in the past tense?
This is where it gets ugly. You're not going to like this.
It's in the past tense because as of last evening, they were sold. I sold them to a bookstore in New York City that was here for this weekend's Emerald City Comic Con. David Adams Comic World.
And the reason
they're,
you
they're
did
the
it,
proud owners now.
The reason you did it, Al, is such a nice thing. If anyone doubted your love for your daughter Rose, they can stop that doubting now. Explain why you sold your incredible comic book collection.
My daughter is starting college this fall, and as all college parents of college age kids, we started looking at tuition and wanting to make sure that she got off to a good start without a lot of debt. And one, this was an option. I had always joked about it, and then I realized that we had to make this a reality.
All right, 5,000 vintage comic books, approximately. What's the name of the comic book shop again?
It is Dave and Adams Comic World, and the person I dealt with here at the show is a man by the name of Mike Carbonaro, and he contacted me and said, I've got to see the collection. And he and I spent 3 hours in my home last night, and he left with the books.
Did you cry?
No.
I don't believe you, Al. How much did you get for this collection? We're curious.
I got the price that I was looking for.
Enough to pay for the college, Rose's college, Al? Was there enough there?
Not enough to pay for college. Yeah. It was definitely enough to probably pay for books for this year.
Oh, my God.
You know, the grants and scholarships, she is working on those. But
yeah.
we definitely wanted to make sure that she would not have to start off her college life by taking loans. And this is one way to make sure that won't occur.
What a great father you are.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, let me say that
sure.
Bill has he collects toys.
Yeah.
And you have quite a collection.
Yeah.
And there was a time where you were out of work and
yeah.
you were thinking about, boy, and he has twin girls, okay, Al? Two girls.
Wow.
College age.
Would you have sold anything?
Well, I did end up selling, when I was out of work, I sold some things, and it was very hard for me to part with any of it. But for years, when people see it, they look at my collection, they go, well, there's your daughter's college fund, and I politely ask them to leave whenever that comes up. I don't want to sell my toys. Did you
she's my only child.
Yeah.
She started school a year early. She's graduating high school a year early. And I figure she's pretty special. It's
sure.
It was worth the sacrifice.
Would this original plan, though, Al, to sell the comic books to fund some of her college, was that your idea or someone else in the family's idea originally?
It was my idea.
Oh, wow.
You are such a better man than Bill is.
To do it.
You are like the superheroes whose books you collected. You are non-selfish man. That's who you are.
Thank you, Bill.
Would that be NS is in the logo or just N?
NSM. No, NS. Yeah. We'll work on the costume. The costume's secondary. But now, like, is there a tinge of, boy, I spent all those years amassing such an amazing collection. Is there any regret at all, Al? Or do you realize this was the right thing to do?
Well, there's always some regret. I've had them for most of my life.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. She is, as I tell folks, Rose is the prettiest flower in my garden.
Oh.
And she's worth it.
And I mean, you have had these comic books for most of your life, but a child is something different. And really, did you, I know it's a grand collection and everything, but did you go back and read these comic books or did you just add to it and kind of go, wow, I got about 5,000 comic books?
Well, I read them when I was single. I spent a lot of time reading them.
Yeah.
Then I got married. Then we had Rose, and they were sitting in the closet of my office.
Well, so it's not like you were touching them and looking at them and going through them. Although my youngest son is 13 and he's into comic books. So my husband has pulled out all his old Marvel and DC, and I have all the original X-Files comic books. So if you get a hankering for reading something, we could lend you some, Al.
Oh,
Well, I'd always appreciate that, too.
The reaction from the rest of your family, Al, they have to appreciate what you've done here for Rose. What's been their reaction to your selfless act?
The reaction has been just make sure you get the best price. Yeah. I have a nephew who's a little younger than me, and he said, you know, please don't sell this issue. And I said, no, I'm pulling the bandage off. If I'm going to sell them, I'm selling them all.
Oh, wow.
You didn't keep one of your special favorites?
No, because if I kept one, which one would I have kept?
Right. It's Sophie's Choice all over again. You can't do it.
That's true.
It's impossible.
All right. What is Rose going to be studying when she goes to college?
Rose is going to Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee.
Nice.
And she is going to be a special ed major.
Oh, so nice.
I have goosebumps. This really is a happy ending, at least for Rose and, you know, kind of for you, because you must feel really good about this.
I do. I'm hoping that these books will go to the next generation of readers. Somebody alone will enjoy them as much as I did.
Al, you're an incredible man. I like Wendy said, I don't have it in me. It would have taken everything out of me to do this, but you've done it, and you've done it for a good cause, and we applaud you. So keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, Bill. I do appreciate it, and you will eventually make that choice, too.
No, he won't.
There would have to be some chloroform involved for me to make that choice. I couldn't do it on my own. They'd have to knock me out and do it when I was out. I can't imagine, but good for you.
Well, congratulations.
All right, thank you.
You've done a great thing, and good luck to Rose on her education. She's picked a field that is very special, and we wish her the best of luck.
Thank you, Wendy. I will pass that on. I'm sure she'll appreciate it.
All right, Al. Take care. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate it. It's Al Sanders, everybody. The most selfless man that we've talked to in a long, long time, certainly. That is so foreign to me. It was so hard. I was out of work for a while, and I had to sell some things, you know, just to make some payments.
Right.
And everything I'd put on eBay, my fingers didn't want to type the descriptions in. It was impossible.
But at least you have something left.
He sold
the whole
collection. Everything.
I can't imagine that.
That would be tough. And he doesn't seem, like I thought, he's going to weep at some point. He seemed okay with it.
I think he's still in shock because he just sold them last night.
That's what it is.
It hasn't sunk in yet.
Right.
I hope Rose doesn't flunk out of college.
You know who should have bought his collection? The guy who only has 111 things from last week. Wouldn't that have been a nice twist? All right, a quick break. More show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I got some terrible news over the weekend, some tragic news, and it involves the WGN family. And Steve, it involves you directly, and that is the passing of Dick Sutliff, longtime WGN newsman. But there's kind of a twist to his passing.
This is one of those things that you guys talk about from time to time. Dick died 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bill's still upset.
I'm still three years later trying to come to terms with it. But what
he was a wonderful curmudgeon and just a irascible guy. And so I on Saturday night, logged onto my Facebook page. And you know how you get those, what were you doing 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Or five?
Oh.
And there was a post I had made about Dick Sutliff. And so I reposted it and I said, you know, I think I said something like, it's been 3 years, but let's laugh one more time, because there was a very funny clip that I'd put on. I said, let's laugh again with Dick.
Yep.
And then people started expressing their condolences, and you know, and I understand, because they thought it was new, I guess. And so then I reposted and said, no, you know, our dear Dick died 3 years ago.
Right.
But the condolences just kept coming in, and it was very sweet. You know, you would have gotten a kick out of it, but he's been gone for a few years now.
We'll play the clip in a little bit that Steve's referring to, because it is very, very funny. But I had four or five different people, never mentioning that this was 3 years ago, saying how sad they were to find out this horrible news about Dick Sutliff.
Because they found it out then, and you're right. With the new thing on Facebook, it's like, you know, share your memories from 3 years ago, because he died on April 9th.
Right. And so you guys
3 years ago.
And you guys talk about how, you know, all of a sudden it comes up that some celebrity or someone of note has died.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe this is one of the ways it happens.
Yes.
I don't know. But
and because you posted something new on it?
Well, I sort of reposted, I think. And I said, let's laugh one more time with Dick.
And then it goes to the top of people's news feeds. And then people comment. Do you have the audio?
Yeah, sure. You want to hear it here?
Set it up
so
a little bit.
This is from, well, it would have been from maybe the 80s or 90s. But Dick was, he was a by-the-book sort of guy. And he was talking about Deng Xiaoping. And how Deng Xiaoping was no longer the supreme leader of China.
Yeah. A leading China watcher says Deng Xiaoping no longer runs China, and President Yang Changkun has taken responsibility for the country's day-to-day affairs. David Shambaugh, a political science professor with the University of London, told foreign correspondents that Yang now has the second biggest power base in the country after Dong, China's longtime patriarch. Shambaugh says Dong has genuinely retired. Adding that should Dong die, the 84-year-old Yang, who also controls China's powerful military, would move quickly into the position of supreme leader. Whether after this.
Oh, is that fantastic?
Oh, I just love it. I can listen to it forever.
It's so funny, Steve.
Should Dong die? I mean, that's how we refer to that for years. And
I give him credit for rebounding because there were two different times. No, not in a million years.
Well, you could hear he was turning his microphone off.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
Further,
but was still able to compose himself after turning it. Like,
not
he turned
really.
His mic off, but yeah, I know. He didn't.
Weather's next.
I know.
And if you go to WGNradio.com, I found a cute little picture at Dick's retirement. With David Stewart, whom we know.
Yeah, sure.
Andrea Darlis, of course, Dick, Judy Pilek, and Steve Bertrand.
Yeah.
So 3 years ago.
He spent so many years here and was one of those, you know, incredibly, as is yours, Steve, incredibly trusted voices that you hear and you say, well, if it's coming from that guy, it's news. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he was an old school guy. He came through Terre Haute, I think, in Indianapolis and Pennsylvania and... You know, when I got here, he was one of the he was the grammarian and taught me a lot about all of that. But was just a character too.
Yeah,
he was a rascal.
Yeah,
in both the good and bad senses of the word. No, he's a wonderful guy, and I smiled when I heard it again, and I shared it, and I tried. I was feeling bad because people were expressing condolences. But I mean, maybe they meant to. They're just 3 years late. But
well, I always think it's so sad when somebody does die, and you get that last burst of memories about that person. Everybody reminisces about them, and then sadly they're lost. So in a weird way, this gives somebody a second chance to have nice things said about them. You know,
right. You're right.
Because so often they're forgotten forever, and somebody's life is way too important to just be forgotten forever.
Should Dong die?
Right. Right.
Oh,
God. It's like the Chuckles the Clown from
right.
Mary Tyler Moore. It really is.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, Steve.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news, and then we do have a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Steiner on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Some news came over the wire. I really do go on Twitter and Facebook to find out breaking news, and I saw this really tragic story over the weekend about the Texas food critic, Stacy Fawcett, who all I saw was the headline, Texas food reporter killed by her, and I had to click on it, and I thought, oh, God, is it boyfriend, is it husband, her son.
Yeah.
It was terribly tragic. It was a brutal murder-suicide. And I found myself all weekend watching the late 45-year-old Stacy Fawcett's videos. She was on the Saturday morning news out in Plano and in Texas. And she was a food critic. She was a blogger. And I found myself watching probably 6 to 8 of her videos.
Yeah.
And it's just so tragic. She had mentioned her older son, 19-year-old McCann Utu Jr., had like a neighbor or a friend had mentioned that he had some brain injury. He suffered from a traumatic brain injury.
I read two accounts of this story that you're referring to, and in both it mentioned that there was a traumatic brain injury, but it didn't go into any kind of a detail. Do you know what happened there?
Yeah, according to the New York Daily News, let me just say what happened. Stacey Fawcett, 45, died along with her younger son, Josiah Utu, 17, and her older son, 19-year-old McCann Utu, allegedly stabbed both of them.
Yeah.
And then called police twice around 12:30 a.m. Friday night, telling them, "I have committed a murder. I have committed murder." And he said right away, "I've killed them." And by the time police arrived at the family's apartment in Plano, which is about 20 miles northeast of Dallas, the older son had stabbed himself several times with a kitchen knife, and he later died in a hospital. Stacy, I guess, was divorced because she was a single parent. Mm-hmm. And the boy's father, McCann Utu Sr., said, "I'm in so much pain and need to grieve for my boys and Stacy right now. God will use my pain to help and save others that are going through mental illness and concussion. God will glorify through my pain." So it's unclear what might have set off this murder-suicide, but McCann Utu's mental health took a turn for the worse after he suffered two concussions, one in 2013 while playing basketball for Plano West High School, and another injury a few months later during a fight with another student.
Hmm.
He lived at home after graduating high school and did not go to college. He loved his brother. Stacy Fawcett's brother, the teen's uncle, Scott Fawcett, said his nephew, quote, completely mentally dwindled away after the trauma, yeah, the trauma to his brain.
Yeah.
And he went on to say his brain will absolutely show CTE, the chronic traumatic encephalopathy, the same thing the NFL does. Fawcett was loved for her food reviews in Dallas broadcasting, earning the nickname Dallas's favorite foodie. She contributed cuisine coverage to the TV station WFAA and the radio station KVIL. They've put a GoFundMe page together to pay for the funerals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a tragic, terrible story.
Yeah, it is. I've not studied her work the way you did over the weekend, but I've seen the pictures of her. Very young, vivacious, beautiful lady. And yeah, that's awful. What a sad way to end your life that way.
I know. And you mentioned with in the newsroom, was it Dick Sutliff?
Yeah.
Who passed away 3 years ago, but yet it was brought to the forefront of Facebook. You said it's kind of like he had a second coming where he was able to let people say right, something nice about him. I felt the need to watch her videos. I didn't know her. I'm sure she was totally beloved in Texas.
Right.
It's like one of our news people here, our reporters. We'd feel like we knew him even though we didn't. I knew nothing about her till this story, but I just felt the need to watch her videos.
Remember when Randy Salerno died a couple of years ago? I never met Randy Salerno, but you just feel this weird kind of that's just not fair that somebody would die so young. And even, I did know Tim Weigel very well. I know you knew him too. You know, when you watch somebody on TV with some regularity, you feel like you know them even if you don't really know them. And yeah, this story just, it just doesn't make sense. I hope so badly that they continue to study and realize the connection between head injuries and the permanent damage that it does. I know at least one NFL owner has come out and just said, "No, as far as I'm concerned, there isn't any kind of a connection." But there is a connection. All the evidence is there that there is a connection.
And they had quoted some friends of McCann Utu Jr.,
yeah,
who was 19 years old, and said, like, after these injuries, it completely changed. He was always so outgoing and fun-loving, and then anger and paranoia set in. And Randy Salerno, by the way, passed away in 2008.
Yeah.
It's been that long ago. And I did know him. He was really nice. And what was sad about that story, too, is like his lifelong friend was charged with, you know, was it involuntary manslaughter or something? Because he was driving the snowmobile that hit the tree.
Yeah. Terrible.
So terrible. But I don't know. I felt like I owed it to Stacy Fawcett. I don't know what touched me. I have two boys. I don't know, but I felt the need to watch this 45-year-old's work. So Stacy Fawcett.
I wonder what what steps they were going through with the son. They obviously knew that something was wrong. He, you know, his personality changed dramatically. He wasn't going to school. I'm hoping they were doing something to help him other than just...
He was going through some treatment I had read to, cognitive behavioral therapy, which someone was quoted as it seemed to be helping, but something just snapped.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible tragedy, and I, like I said, I watched and got some good recipes that I wrote down, and I might make them in her honor.
That's the way to be. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We have a lot more coming next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Over the weekend, I believe it was Friday night, Texas food critic Stacy Fawcett and her two teenage sons dead in a very brutal murder-suicide, and her oldest son, who allegedly did this stabbing, had two brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries, one from a basketball injury and one from a fight he got in with a student in Plano High School.
Mm-hmm.
And family members and friends said he completely changed after that. And Annie is on the line with us. Is this hitting home to you?
Oh, yes. My son, he had three concussions. Two that we didn't even know of because he didn't show any symptoms. And the third one was every time he would get up, he would get dizzy, and he actually was getting out of the school bus, and he actually just fell out and hit his head on the sidewalk.
Oh,
so that one, he wasn't wearing a helmet. And, you know, he was talking really slow, and so I'm like, we're going to the hospital, and they checked him and everything. And anyway, it turns out he had to be off school for about 3 months because he showed those signs of irritability. He was depressed. He just didn't want to do anything. I mean, he was, like, topped in the United States as far as cyclocross. And he just...
Of what? What cyclocross?
Biking.
Oh, wow.
It's a fall winter sport. And he did criteriums and road races. And he was, you know, top 10 in those categories for category two. And his whole life just turned after his concussion.
How's he doing now, Annie? Is he okay?
He's good. He just doesn't, you know, he was so, you know, I'm just kind of disappointed that he's not back into cycling. He was so gifted for that, but he's just trying to get through high school and just being a teen right now. And it's, you know, it's a shame that that had to sideline him.
And there's no real reversing that. I mean, from my understanding, CTE is, you know, as the brain is kind of sloshing around in the skull, it has some injury from moving around like that. And, I mean, once you have it, is that it? Is it, it can't be
well, they
better?
Well, they say that every time a new hit, it gets more damaged. So there's a part of the brain that's damaged still, like his frontal lobe. It was all of his frontal, his reasoning, and, you know, plus he had ADHD, so that added on top of it.
Right.
So, you know, he was always a daredevil, but now it's like I worry so much because it's like, oh, you know, he's just not thinking clearly, but, you know, he's going to be 18 and, you know, just like hope he's making the right choices. And
does he talk to a therapist or something? Because I'm curious about this, like what you do moving forward to help him out.
Well, we did go. He did have some, like what that lady had,
cognitive behavioral therapy or whatever she mentioned.
Because he thought nothing was wrong, it was like, I don't need this.
Right.
You know, it was just so difficult. It was very difficult to get through to him. Very difficult.
And he doesn't write at all anymore, does he, Annie? Is he done with writing?
Yeah, he's pretty much done with writing. I hope he, you know, picks it up somewhere along the line because he's so talented. But
wouldn't you be nervous with his history? Wouldn't you be scared he could crash and have another concussion or something?
Yeah. Yeah, these and the concussions that he got, was he wasn't even going fast. It was a slow, it was a slow ride. I mean, cyclocross isn't really super fast.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would, you know, go on his 60-mile bike rides down Sheridan Road in 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Jeez.
Wow.
With those big groups that he would go, you know, I'm sure you've seen
big
groups of cyclists. Yep.
And no one thinks, you know, he had a helmet on and everything, and no one thinks that anything's going to happen to their head. They really don't.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and these kids that are, you know, that's the first thing that's going to hit, and you're not going to save it if you don't have a helmet.
Ugh.
Annie, good luck to you, and I hope things get better. Good luck to him on his future endeavors.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Annie. Well, appreciate it.
You guys are great.
Oh, you're kind. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wouldn't that be tough? I know that she wants him to reignite his passion, but I'd be so afraid.
Maybe he's afraid, too. That's why he doesn't want to do it.
I'm positive.
I mean, really, how many times did you, like, fall and hit your head, like, in sports or fall off a bike when you were a kid? It's like you never even thought twice about it.
Right. My brother, on the first day, it wasn't the first day of summer vacation yet. It was the Friday. It was our last day of school, and he was in fifth grade. And one of my friends got a bike for graduation, for eighth grade graduation, and Adam was riding it. He let all of us ride on his new bike, and he went head first. He hit something on the street and went head first and hit his. We all watched it, and he just laid there, and we were sure he was dead. He just laid there. We couldn't get him up. We rushed him to a hospital. This is many years ago, obviously. But just seeing his head, the way he hit the ground.
Oh, my God.
We all went, well, that's the end of him.
Well, maybe he suffered some...
I don't know.
Because no one checked back then.
Right, right.
It's like, oh, you're okay? Do you have a concussion? Let me get a flashlight. Do your pupils dilate?
Yeah.
Oh, they're not dilating. You must have a concussion. Don't go to sleep. Somebody should wake you up every 4 hours.
Right.
Drink plenty of fluids and keep an eye on him
so
he doesn't have a seizure. That's all we were told to do.
He started, this is awful, but there was a little trickle of blood from his mouth.
Oh,
and then
God.
One of my friends said... I've heard that when that happens, everything's all right. And we all went, oh, well, thank God then that that's happened. But then I'm like, my friend's 13, too.
How does he know
hasn't
that?
Studied medicine. But we all, for the moment, it made everything all right. It's like, well, then I'm glad he's bleeding. Just a little trickle of blood. That's a good thing. There's no validity to that whatsoever. But, you know, when you're a kid and you just need to hear something, you go, well, if Rob says that trickle of blood is a good thing, obviously it is.
That makes me think his brain was bleeding and it leaked out.
Later on, that's what I'm like, wait, that couldn't be a good thing. That would be a bad thing.
Kids are so stupid, really, and think they're invincible.
Well, Rob was not asked to speak at any more medical conventions after that.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, you guys. You guys always have the best topics.
Thank you,
John. I love your show.
Thank you.
Kevin's great to you know, look at or listen to different listeners. So I'm a survivor of a TBI, so a traumatic brain injury, just on what you guys were just talking about. So that mine was in an automobile accident. There was no blood, nothing. I was conscious. By the grace of God, I'm still here. I had my seatbelt on. But it was very soon after. There was an actress who was out skiing.
Natasha Richardson.
Yes.
Liam Neeson's wife. I will never forget that because she said she was fine and it was the back of her head. And then half a day later, she was dead.
Correct. Thank you very much, Wendy. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But by the grace of God, the paramedics, they saw what the accident was like. There was no blood, like Bill referred to, but they took me to a hospital. They had a surgeon there, so the surgeon said that it was probably the worst TBI that he had ever witnessed.
No.
When he opened my head, and you know, again, that he was there as a surgeon, but. What I wanted to tell Ann is, you know, make sure that she is talking to her doctors about the hip. And, Bill, I'm sure you know this term, the hippocampus. It's part of your brain that really manages everything, whether it manages your speech, your motion, things like that. That's really what the doctors concentrate on, and then therapists concentrate on, because I know one thing you talked about as far as recovery, the person will really never be the same, will always have that deficiency, but we can certainly work through what you guys talked about, you know, different managing techniques where you can manage and you can still build your brain back to an acceptable level.
John, they do mental exercises with you, right? Is that part of your rehab?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're really good. When I was in recovery, I was not told not to drive. I was just told not for the doctors. It's just not good to do it. So it was a year and a half after the accident. So I went to an institution. So I had an hour and a half session for the cognitive part where I had to do all those exercises. And then I had an hour behind the wheel. Most people, I think, today going to the Secretary of State's office would not ever be able to do those types of things. But they just wanted to know that I had done my recovery. I was alert enough to function properly behind the wheel and not injure myself or injure anybody else. But the other thing you guys talked about and I wanted to mention is as far as brain, learning about the brain.
Yeah,
they've done so much lately, but they still have so much to learn. And I have a wonderful doctor at Rush, and he is just, you know, wonderful. And he's a doctor, he's an educator, and he just still says there's so much that they can still learn about
The
intricate part of the brain.
John, you had to do a whole rehab and everything, and we really appreciate you calling in. And if you're still listening, you know, maybe look into this a little more. Continued success in your recovery, John.
You guys are great. Have a great day, and God bless you.
Thanks,
you
John.
As well.
I'm glad
Thank
you're
you.
Still here. All right, a break, some news, more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Now present to you our friend, the feisty Eric Zorn, incredible Tribune columnist. How are you, feisty Eric Zorn?
Now, we never did try incredible as an adjective.
Well, you are incredible. That goes
Stick
without
with
saying.
Feisty.
But you're so feisty.
I think Wendy's right. I think Wendy's bringing me back down to earth, so yeah.
Well, incredible is a given, right?
I think you should be, as a journalist, you should be credible, not incredible.
Yeah, right?
But you, sir, are both. I find you both credible and incredible.
Or incredibly credible.
And incorrigible. Eric, we don't often talk sports with you, but there's a lot going on in the world of sports, and I know you wrote about a couple of these things recently. Let's start out by talking about what happened in the Masters with Jordan Spieth.
Well, it was really the whole – people always say, how can you watch golf? It's just a bunch of rich white guys striking a little ball around an impossibly
I watch
manicured.
Bowling.
You watch bowling?
Well, when I want to take a nap because it's very soothing.
See –
they should use a golf ball in bowling. It'd be a better game.
A couple of great things. One great thing happened at the Masters tournament this week was like on the first day, in the first morning, Ernie Els, who's won the tournament before, is a great golfer from South Africa, toward the end of his career. He gets to the first hole, and he has like a 3-foot putt.
Yeah.
And he can't put it in. He's like a little kid at a mini golf course. He hits it by the hole one way, by the hole the other way, by the hole. Then he tries to hockey it in, you know, just the way you do. And you just reach the club out and knock it back in. That doesn't go in. I think he took 6 putts to get it in the hole.
And you know, if that's the first hole, you know that now your tournament is shot.
He's
you can't
done.
Rebound.
Yeah, he did not make the cut and so made no money. But what was interesting to me was how...
8 shots is what he took.
I mean, the video online is hilarious. He just keeps missing this. And you're just thinking, like... I've been there. I've watched my kids do this. This is hilarious. But the thing is that he then, you know, hits the ball in and he moves on, goes and continues to play. Doesn't just like go jump into a lake, which is probably what I would have done.
Right.
Take all his clubs and empty them into the creek. But that was Monday morning, and yesterday afternoon, Jordan Spieth, who is the number 2 golfer in the world, and he won the Masters the year before. He's won, I think, two majors tournaments last year. He won, and yeah, he's the star, up and coming star. And he's leading by 5 shots going into the last 9 holes, which is pretty much an insurmountable lead in most golf tournaments. Just fell apart. He bogeyed the first 2 holes on the back nine, one over par on both of them. Then he gets to this relatively short par 3 where you got to hit the ball over some water.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits it, and it hits in the embankment and dribbles back into the water. And everyone goes, oh, you know, it's terrible, terrible. And so then he goes to this area and drops the ball, hits his, and it's going to hit now his 3rd shot, is takes the penalty shot. And he hits a shot that every amateur golfer, you don't play, right?
No.
You never play, but every amateur golfer knows this thing where you just, you hit behind the ball, you just take a bunch of sod with it, and the ball kind of like pops forward, but it doesn't really go anywhere. This one barely made it into the water. It just like plunked it up. It was just one of these shots that every duffer has hit in his life. So now he's hitting his 5th shot, and he airmails that over the green. He finally gets in with a, I think it was a 4 over par on the hole, has totally lost his lead at this point, and he goes on to lose the tournament by, I think, what's the 3 shots?
Oh, no.
But what was interesting to me, first of all, it was just sort of fascinating to watch this incredibly great athlete at the top of his game fall apart like that. You'd never see, maybe like Steph Curry airballing a couple of free throws or something. I mean, something you just never would see.
Right.
And then to see how he handled that, which was, I thought, really interesting.
What did he do?
Well, he gave an interview to the TV people afterwards, which I'm sure he just wanted to crawl into a hole.
Right.
After he,
except he would have missed the hole based on what you're telling us.
he would have tried to crawl in, and it would have been this like grassy patch.
Right.
Oh, it's over there. That's good, Bill. I'm going to use that one.
Please.
And not attribute it to
him. All right, fine.
But he gave a really classy interview to CBS, and he said, you know, I was really tough. I was really trying, and I'm really disappointed. And, you know, the kind of thing you don't, you know, have, you really, oh, he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and then, of course, part of the Masters tradition is that the winner gets a green sport coat.
Nice. And wear that with anything.
And the winner of the previous year, yeah, it looks great.
Yeah.
Winner from the previous year, and then has to put it on the guy who won this year.
Yeah.
So he has to go into this ceremony, and because he won last year, he had to take the green jacket and put it on this year's winner. And you know, he's just dying inside, but he did it, and it was pretty cool.
A huge difference in the money he would have won. I'm sure he still walked away with some money.
I think, no tag days for him. But
you're probably talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars
probably,
that he lost for having a couple.
I know the winner got $1.8
million.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, you know, second place, but usually it's several hundred thousand dollars less than
right.
that. But one of the reasons I was paying so much attention to it was that I had written a column for Sunday talking about how when these tournaments are on and I'm looking for a rooting interest, I usually root for the American golfers.
Do you? Why?
Yeah. I think in part because I've been trained to by the TV networks, which for the most part, they always will tell you they focus a lot on where they're from.
Yeah.
Like, when they do Cubs broadcast, they talk all the time. They don't say, like, here comes the Cuban, Jorge Soler.
Right.
They mention it from time to time, but it, on a lot of these golf broadcasts, I think it's true of tennis too. They put a little flag by the person's name as though it's some Olympic event and they're representing.
It does seem Olympic-like.
Yeah.
And so you're saying, like, and also, what other reason do you have sometimes to root for somebody when you're watching these individual games, right? I mean, when you watch tennis, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, why do you root for who you root for? Do you root for Americans over Federer and Djokovic?
Sometimes, well, the two guys you just mentioned, usually that's almost always who I root for because they're just so much fun to watch. It's amazing to watch them play. But there is an element, I always like seeing somebody who's unseated or just one of those stories where you go, boy, here's a guy that nobody knew about 3 or 6 months ago, and now all of a sudden he or she is in a major tournament. So I always want them to do well.
You don't go with the outfit?
Sometimes I'll also go with the outfit. Yeah,
the color coordinator.
It's a great outfit. I hope that guy wins.
It's hard to know. These sports, it's like, I mean, I always used to root for Tiger Woods. Johanna hated that because she thinks Tiger Woods was such a cad. And such a, you know, almost sociopathically competitive guy.
Right.
But he was so fantastic to watch. I mean, incredible golfer and cold-blooded. And
it seemed like back then, and it's not that many years ago, you almost didn't stand a chance of beating him. He was so at the top of his game that it was impossible to beat him for quite a while.
And these individual sports need somebody like that.
Yeah.
They need a preeminent figure.
Yeah.
And
it could have been Jordan Spieth.
Well, it could have been.
It still probably is. Despite this, you don't think so anymore?
I don't know.
No one's going to forget this, especially him.
Well, you know, he's got many years ahead of him.
He's 22
or 23. 22. I'm not sure. 22. Yeah. He's got many years ahead of him to make up for this, but that's got to be. He put the ball in the water in that same hole 2 years ago at his first Masters when he was chasing the ultimate winner and he fell apart on that whole end too. So there's a little bit of a psychological thing there. But that would have never happened to Tiger Woods. I don't think Tiger Woods ever had a collapse like that.
Well, how does this happen? He knows how to play.
It becomes a mental thing, though. Like once he had a 5-stroke lead, and at some point it became a 2-stroke lead, a 3, then a 2. And then you're going, what's going on with me? And that plays into your mindset, you know?
And golf isn't like tennis or any sport where you can just like try harder. I think you can bear down sometimes in some of these sports. I know certainly in playing basketball, you're like, I'm just going to try harder now. In golf, it is such a mental game.
I'm going to think harder.
You have to actually not try harder. You have to not, you have to like,
be more comfortable.
All the fundamentals that brought you to where you were. And so, I think it was a rookie mistake. But golf needs somebody like that to be the one everyone tunes in to watch and show every shot. And Tiger's not coming back. He's 40 and his back is shot.
Isn't it sad, though, to be 40 and have people realize your best days are long gone?
Well, there was one, actually, there ended up being one foreigner I was really rooting for, though, toward the end, was Bernhard Langer, who was 58.
Yeah.
And he was in second or third place in the last round. I was thinking that, and the announcers were saying this would be one of the great achievements in sports. Of course, he just faded the last day.
But that's too bad.
It's fascinating.
Eric Zorn is here, and yes, he's feisty. You hear him. You know what I'm talking about. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. More with us, Bill and Wendy, and Eric Zorn in just a moment. It's WGN.
We're visiting with the very feisty Tribune columnist, Eric Zorn.
Don't deny it.
I don't know if we're going to continue talking golf, so I kind of left that open for you.
Well,
to grab.
There is another sports story that you've written about, and this is in regards to women's basketball, most notably the WNBA.
Right.
Correct?
Well, Elena Deledon, who is the MVP from what's we got next?
A basketball
that the
phrase.
Women's NBA.
Oh, is that
WNBA?
I thought maybe like the sky was coming to WGN.
No.
No, she's proposed lowering the hoop from 10 feet to 9 feet.
Yep. That's stupid.
Not the first person to have that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially so that you would have, you know, alley-oops and dunks, the same sort of things you see in the NBA. And her argument is that this would show off the athleticism of the players in the NBA, make the game more exciting for fans. Because, you know, there are dunks in the WNBA, but they're few and far between. Only a couple players can do it, and they really have to have an open.
Why don't they just get a Nerf basketball set, and maybe we could do it that way? There's no need to lower that.
They do have a smaller ball. Yes, you're right. For women's basketball. And you know, the idea of altering a sport to make it friendlier for women or easier for women to accommodate some physical realities for women. It's not unheard of in women's golf. The holes are shorter,
and the tee is closer up, right?
Well, they bring the holes aren't as long.
Yeah.
In volleyball, the net is a little bit lower for women than men. So it's not like it's this unthinkable thing to alter a sport to make it so that women can compete better. And actually, in women's professional tennis, there are only three sets instead of five. What's up with that?
But now do they, because in high school I played basketball, I wouldn't have wanted the net lowered. Are they going to lower it in high school now?
Well, it's among the many practical obstacles to her idea is that a lot of hoops are a fixed height. There's some, like in our local park district, you can adjust them because they play kiddie basketball.
Right.
And they lower it like down to 6 feet or something for little kids to play.
Yeah.
So that,
or
so
me.
That,
right.
But a lot of places, a lot of gyms, you can't just lower the hoop. So it would really be a problem. People say that it would be really hard for women to adjust to the new height. It'd be hard to learn to shoot on it. I don't really think that's true.
I do. You've spent your whole life shooting at it at this height.
Yeah, but you've spent your whole life refining a form
Style. You're used to how high you have to arc it. It would change everything.
Well, it would certainly make the game different, really different.
You get a higher scoring game for sure.
See, 9 feet, yes. Well, and 9 feet is actually awfully low. I think maybe 9.5 feet. My basic idea is I think it's worth experimenting with this to try it. Maybe take a small,
because you're a guy,
a small college league, and just see what it does to the game.
What do the players want? Do most of the players want to lower it or not want to lower it?
I don't know if they've taken a poll. Diana Taurasi, who is a star for, Houston maybe, She was saying, like, oh, they might as well put us into a skirt and send us back to the kitchen.
Oh,
she was really opposed, really opposed to it. So it probably isn't going anywhere. But you know, it's not like they don't change rules in sports from time to time.
Right, sure.
I mean, certainly the three-point shot in basketball is one
of
the rules
a bunch
that really
of changes
the game. So they do alter it. Now, that would be a drastic thing to lower the rim, but I think it could be interesting.
But if you're let's say you're a woman professional basketball player and you get news that that's going to be the case, don't you feel like the game has been altered as if to say you're not good enough to score on a 10-point basket?
They should make the floor different so we can wear high heels while playing.
There's an idea.
Free spirit or whatever that shoe was.
Right.
Or just little mini tramps around. But I think that you shouldn't close your mind to the idea of changing a sport, altering a sport to make it more dynamic, more
to make
exciting.
It better. Yeah.
And so that the height 10 feet was very arbitrary when James Naismith hung the peach baskets in the YMCA to keep the rowdy boys busy.
I'm surprised they don't still have peach baskets up instead of nets. That's a better look.
Well, you could raise the men. People have actually talked about raising the men's hoop up to 11 feet or 12 feet even, because people think the dunk has become too important.
That.
But I love the dunk.
It's fun to watch.
It's very exciting thing. So and actually I would like a 9-foot hoop because I might be able to dunk on a 9-foot hoop.
And a trampoline.
Well, I could probably get the 9-foot hoop still.
You know, we have in our driveway, we have an adjustable.
Right.
So sometimes it can be at 10, but we've moved it down when our daughters were little, we moved it down to 6 or 7.
Right.
And then I kept thinking when I was playing and it was down there, if I was taller, I would want to play this all the time to be up that close to the net. It's fantastic.
Very easy, yeah. But it was a very interesting conversation. On Facebook and in comments thread, people had the same. A lot of people have the same reaction that Wendy did. That is just
don't do it.
Don't
sexist,
do it.
Don't change the
next
game. But it's not. It doesn't say that women aren't. It just says that women aren't as tall.
Right.
They're not.
Which is true.
I mean, these people who play in the NBA, they're pituitary cases.
Yes.
Right? I mean, they're like guys like
pituitary cases.
Well, they're like 6'10".
Yeah.
And they're playing guard. You know,
right.
I mean,
Bertrand should play.
Yeah, Bertrand. I bet Bertrand's got some game.
Yao Ming taught him how to play years ago. It's a crazy story.
So,
all right. Well, thank you, Eric, for being here, for being as feisty as we would hope.
I'm glad to be feisty.
You're incredibly feisty. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Kim, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. It's part two of our show. We're thrilled that you're here, that you're listening. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 will get the job done.
Oops, it would help if I turned my
You don't need to turn the mic on. That's all right.
I know people are going, please don't.
You know what I want to start with? It's Cubs opening day, and I don't know if you saw this. You know who Tom Ricketts is, right?
One of the Ricketts?
He's one of the Ricketts. He is the one that is Tom Ricketts. He's one of the owners of the Cubs. So there was a story today over at USA Today. He's very, very upset, Wendy. Tom Ricketts is extremely upset because
what's
people...
What's irking him?
I'll tell you what's irking him. Is that people say that he, Tom Ricketts, one of the owners of the Cubs, is a dead ringer for Ted Cruz.
Whoops.
And I know everyone can't see their pictures, but you got to admit,
pretty close.
They look a lot alike. They really do. I've thought that a couple of times, but I thought maybe I'm just seeing something that isn't there. When you see their pictures side by side, and we'll put them up on our Facebook page so you can decide, they do look a lot more alike than most people.
Yeah, that's
what is it?
Unsettling.
It's unsettling. Cub owner Tom Ricketts won't make any wild proclamations regarding his stocked ball club this season. This, again, according to USA Today. He will, however, strongly insist that he bears little resemblance to Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz. I'm sure if you're him, and Ted Cruz is often maligned and criticized, you say to yourself, well, no, I know what I look like. I don't look like that guy. But when you see them next to each other, again, go to our Facebook page if you can't envision either Tom Ricketts or Ted Cruz, they do look alike. The trouble is convincing everybody else of this. Ricketts often finds himself surrounded by large groups of Cubs fans. Inevitably, an unwitting passerby will assume that the throng surrounding Ricketts is not because he's the Cubs owner, but rather the top challenger to Donald Trump for the Republican nomination. Now, here's the more interesting twist in all this. Remember about 3 weeks ago or a month ago when his parents, the elder Ricketts, were taking out ads. They were help funding an anti Donald Trump campaign.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump said, I know some things about you guys. Maybe one of the things he knew was that their son, Tom, looked a lot like Ted Cruz. Could that have been what he was holding back on?
Maybe. He did have this. He was going to spill the beans. If I hear spill the beans one more time.
Well, you know, I read in a couple different places that what he knew about them was really next to nothing. You know, that he knew, you know,
things that they had. He's just being a bully.
Yeah, that's all
it
was.
I know something you don't know.
That's what it was. Ricketts was asked if he was at Ted Cruz's restaurant last week. He was at does Ted Cruz have a restaurant? While he was watching the Cubs season opener against Los Angeles. If he does, this is news to me. It says at Ted Cruz's Fort Lauderdale restaurant.
Yes, he does.
I guess he does. That makes you and I the only two people on the planet that don't have their own restaurants. Not yet.
But it's a coming.
It's coming. It's going to be here. A fan walked up with a pen and a notebook seeking Ted Cruz's autograph when he was told that it was Cubs owner instead of Cruz. The fan just walked away. Apparently, Rickett says, I was not cool enough for his collection of autographs. I've had people walking up really believing that I'm Ted Cruz. Now, quick sidebar. If more than one person has approached you thinking you're somebody else, doesn't that kind of lend itself to the fact that he looks like him?
I don't know, Bill, because we put a picture of me just getting into radio on our Facebook page, and people said I looked like young Bernadette Peters, which I didn't. Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
That one, there's some similarity. Have to say that there is a little similarity there.
And somebody else put Robert Smith of The Cure, which I didn't appreciate that.
That one's
His makeup is better.
Well, he's got professionals doing his makeup.
No,
you're
he
just
doesn't.
Doing your own.
But you have been likened to Dana Carvey.
I get Dana Carvey every once in a while.
I don't get anybody anymore.
It used to be Greg Kinnear, but not as often anymore.
I said Bobby Sherman a long time ago.
That's right. Bobby Sherman. Thank you for that. Nice.
Although you really don't.
Nobody's ever come up and said, boy, you look just like somebody like Hubert Humphrey. Boy, I thought you were Hubert Humphrey. I saw you coming. And I'm like, Hubert Humphrey's here. It's never anybody just so totally unbelievable. But if you're him, if you're Ricketts, and on more than one occasion somebody has come up assuming that you're somebody else, there's got to be some validity to it, right?
Can I tell you what I'd do if I was Tom Ricketts right now? I would grow a goatee
or a beard.
Or a Coach Q mustache.
Yes.
Well, they're pretty conservative, politically active, I should say.
The Ricketts family
is.
Yeah,
and Republican, so he might like the comparison. I don't know.
I don't know.
He seems adamant against it.
Oh, okay.
He really doesn't seem to. But it's weird. Anytime anyone tells you you look like somebody, unless it's somebody who's usually on People Magazine's 10 Handsomest Guys or Most Beautiful Women list, you're like, oh, do I look like that guy? Really?
I have a friend who looks a lot like Barack Obama.
Does he really?
Oh, we met him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he was in the studio,
remember? Yeah, I do remember him. He does look a lot like
Barack
Obama.
There was a security guard who looked just
like
that. That
guy was a dead ringer.
He looks so much like, I mean, when I'm out with him, you know, there are people who, there are double takes.
Really? Now, Kevin, our producer, has kind of an unfortunate story of who he looks like.
Poor guy.
He looks like the missing Hemsworth brother.
Other than Hemsworth has blue eyes.
Yeah.
Kevin, this is totally you.
Well.
See how upset he is? Don't bring it up to him. He gets very,
it's
very
sad,
upset.
Yeah.
He gets very upset.
Could it be worse?
It could be worse.
And one of them is in, I think I told you this, one of the Hemsworths, because they're all kind of interchangeable to me. I know there's Liam Hemsworth and there's Chris Hemsworth and there's Hemi Hemsworth, and that's all I know. That's the third one. Is one of them is in the new Ghostbusters movie, and I've seen pictures of him, and he looks just like Kevin.
I think it's Chris.
It is Chris.
Well, that's the one who looks most like you.
The character's name in the movie is Kevin.
Bum, bum, bum.
How about that?
I need to, like, not do this job anymore and apply to become a Hemsworth brother.
Yep. That's where the money is, in Hemsworth.
I don't think so. Then you got to share it with, you know,
the other
three
Hemsworths.
Other Hemsworths.
Yeah, you got to pool the money.
I'd be okay with that, so it's probably a sizable amount.
Well, we can put the picture of Tom Ricketts and John.
Ted
Cruz. It's already up, yes. And we should have Kevin hold the picture of Chris Hemsworth, too.
Kevin, you got to work a little more on the Australian accent. Can we hear just a little of the Australian accent?
Oi.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I got to admit, that's,
you know what that reminds me of? The song Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Oi! Why does he say that? He's not Jewish. All of a sudden, in the middle of it, it's going to, we've got to rock onto Electric Avenue. Oi! I got a backache.
Pulled his back. That's all I could guess. All right, we'll take a quick break. All kinds of things coming up on the second half of the show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
There are a couple people, Bill, who have been texting us. Ted Cruz looks like Mr. Haney from Green Acres.
There's a little similarity between Ted Cruz and Mr. Haney.
What about Ted Cruz and Grandpa Munster? Al Lewis, the great Al
Lewis.
Yeah,
the
a Grecian formula, Al Lewis.
There's some similarity in the hair structure a little bit. Right? You see it, don't
a little
you?
Bit.
Or I have heard Eddie Munster on more than one occasion too, like a grown up Eddie Munster.
How is Eddie Munster? Where is he now?
Butch Patrick? I don't know where he is now.
773 says, I bet Mr. Ricketts' children are registered voters, LOL, but that is really Donald Trump's issue.
Right.
Isn't that a hoot and a half?
He said they weren't aware of the rules.
That's strange, though, isn't it? That, I mean, they've been breathing this election for months. You would think they'd be up on everything they needed to know.
Ivanka just had a baby. She's been busy.
All right. I'll give her that.
No, well, I'll have to look up the rules. Maybe they're different in New York. Do you have to register every time? I mean,
I don't think so. Don't
I registered
you register
when I moved into my neighborhood 20 years ago?
Right,
and then that was the last time.
Yeah, and then right. You get a little postcard saying, "Hey, here's your precinct,
your polling place."
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know
That's
why they
shocking.
Wouldn't have been a little bit better schooled on this. Who uncovered this? Do we know who's behind finding
Melania.
This out? Is it Melania? Is it really?
I don't know who uncovered it. That's a great question.
Also, if you weren't listening at the very beginning of the show, you may notice a slight change in Wendy's voice.
I've finally hit puberty.
Finally. Hopefully, I will follow suit as well very soon.
Too late.
Without going into great detail, there's a reason behind this. You're not sick.
No, I'm really not sick. I just, my boys were fighting a physical fight, and I interfered and yelled at them, and I blew my voice out.
Right.
That's how loudly I was yelling.
But here's the thing. You didn't yell for long.
It no, but
like
it was
you were yelling for
loud. For
long. Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, I just, you know.
What'd it sound like?
Yeah, can you give us a recap?
I can't even recreate it.
Oh, man.
I cannot strain my vocal cords. That's how I make a living.
Yeah, oh, true. Very, very true. Could you tell right away that your voice was blown? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just knew instinctively?
Yeah, I don't like physical fighting. And if I just left it alone, they'd stopped in 30 seconds and we're all, hey, we're working it out, Mom. And then we took a ride to my niece's house to see my great niece in Lake Zurich. So we had a long ride and there were no fighting.
Yeah. They got it out of their system.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand boys and I never will.
I hope you don't get asked to fill in for Jim Cornelison and have to sing the national anthem at a Blackhawks game, a playoff
game.
Okay,
like that would ever happen. I could never sing it as wonderfully as that man can.
He really does.
With the flourishes.
Oh, it's insane how good he is.
I feel so bad when we talk to Jim Cornelison, and the reason we talk to him is because he always points to our flag.
The flag was still there, and he shows everybody, there it is.
And there was one time he completely forgot to do it, and you could see his reaction. Like, he kind of rolled his own eyes at himself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't believe this is my thing, and I didn't do it.
Yep.
We had him on to discuss it. He had just had some kind of laser eye surgery and was kind of off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you he never forgets again.
No. From here on in, that's going to be a given. I'm very optimistic. I listened to some sports radio talk shows over the weekend, and everybody's just a little bit nervous. I like sports. And just for a minute, just to make sure everything was where it needed to be. So I
like the beat on our station.
Oh, I do too. That was one of the shows I listened to, as a matter of fact. But there are some here in the town that are a little afraid of the Blackhawks because the last couple of weeks haven't been what we're used to with them.
We didn't need it. We did need it 2 games ago because it would have changed.
Right. When we were still in the running to move up, it wouldn't have been terrible to have won another couple of games. But once they were cemented where they are
in the
standings, they're in the playoffs. Last year, it was the same thing. They had home ice advantage for, I think, the first series only and then nothing the rest of the way. They do well on the road.
Totally a great road team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, look at everybody who was out. I can't wait for Wednesday night. Duncan Keith will still be out, but you'll have Hossa back.
Andrew Shaw will be back. Stan Mikita, Jim Pappin, Bill White,
Why
Dick
are we
Redman,
not talking to your best friend
Bobby
in the
Hall,
whole
Dennis
wide
Hall.
World about this?
I believe he's going to be on Wednesday, I think. Is that confirmed, Kevin? Yeah? No, it's not confirmed. We don't know why.
Really? He's your best friend in the whole wide world and you can't get him on the show?
He's been working on a secret government project. Grant Mulvey is working on a secret government project that he can't divulge.
Right, because it's secret.
It's secret, but he's been hard at work on this, making the galaxy a safer place. But he's going to try, as a favor to me, his best friend, to come on Wednesday.
And he knows your best friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
I told him.
Just double check.
Send him a note.
But Wednesday's going to be great, and I'm not worried at all. I mean, Saturday's game didn't really matter.
We've done remarkably well against the St. Louis Blues in the playoffs. We really do. And I know every year is different and every team is different, but I would have been a little more nervous about facing Dallas in round one. I think
Patrick
we can take
Sharp.
Care of anyone. Anyone in the league, I think, can be taken care of by the Blackhawks. Washington is the one that scares me. We wouldn't meet them until the finals. Let that happen. But they seem to be, this year, the most dangerous team.
I am not concerned. Coach Q is not worried.
Not
he
even
said,
a little bit. He's
Duncan
unflappable.
Duncan Keith's not going to be there for the first game against the Blues on Wednesday, but he'll be back, and it would be nice to get one game up. But
sure.
If they don't, it doesn't matter with the Hawks. They can be like so trailing big time, and some miracle happens.
Last year, they were down to St. Louis, I think 2-0. I think they lost the first two games to St. Louis last year and then won 4 in a row. They are a team that can win 4 in a row at any point, so...
cares. Just let's go Hawks. That's all
let's
I'm saying.
Let's go Hawks.
I whipped out the Hawks jersey today. I'm not saying sweater because it is not a sweater. It's polyester.
No, you have to.
I'm not.
The NHL insists that you call what you're wearing a sweater.
I'm not doing it.
Do you want Gary Bettman to come and close this shop down? He'll do it.
Sure.
He will do it.
Don't make him turn this Zamboni around.
He will do it.
I don't think it's called that anymore.
That's a strange story. It is and it isn't.
It's kind of funny coming from you, Miss Sweater Wearer.
Well, I think it was a brand name thing that now it's the Ice Clearer or something.
Yeah, they call it something else now for legal purposes. Well, Zamboni's not the only company that makes those ice clearing machines. So a lot of the Stadia have gone to a different vehicle.
Good use of Latin.
Thank you. And when they do, if it's not a Zamboni, they can't legally call it a Zamboni.
Is vehicle a Latin word?
No, he said no. Stadia.
Stadia.
Oh,
more
thanks.
Than one stadium. I brushed up on my Latin just for today's show.
I can't follow along. What page of the script are we on?
It's page 18. Page 18. Very, very easy. All right. How about this? A quick break. A lot more coming your way next. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, I am really proud of our city, Bill, and yet I do nothing to make people excited about it. But
don't
our next
say that.
Guest,
you
Raven
cheer up
Smith,
dozens
is,
of people every year.
Well, she's only a senior in high school, and she has put together her love of Chicago in something we can wear. And who doesn't love to wear stuff and scream, "I love Chicago"?
Right.
All right, Raven Smith, you're a senior at Morgan Park High School.
Yes.
All right, and your mom's here, Raina. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, really, a senior in high school comes up with this great idea. Chicago has had a bad rap, been called Chi-Rack. In my opinion, even worse, I hate when people say Chi-Town. We're not Chi-Town. So what did you come up with, Raven, to make it even better and perfect?
I came up with Straight from the Go, which is another way to say straight from Chicago.
Nice.
Love it. So you come up with this idea, and you're like, oh, maybe I should make some fashion items, maybe T-shirts, maybe hats. Do you go to your mom and tell her, Mom, I got this great idea?
Yes.
Does she laugh at you? Does she say, oh, my God, I'm going to totally help you out?
My mom and dad are also very supportive of me, and when I first came up with the idea, I called my mom and told her about it.
This is so nice, because I don't know if you go through this, but I had this with my parents. I would be sure that they would steal my idea and make a lot of money and then leave me alone. That would never occur to you, though. You
no.
Trust your parents. Good for you.
All right, so you have a website that's set up, straightfromthego.com. Now, where did this begin? Just a thought in your head, and then you made your very first T-shirt?
Yes.
And then where did you go to sell them, to show them?
Well, not so fast. When Raven called and said, "Mom, I have this great idea, and we're going to, I would like to use Straight From the Goal to represent Chicago," I said to her, "Raven, I've just been diagnosed with sarcoidosis. I thought it would be just a long road in trying to get it done as far as trademarking and the energy that would be required." So originally I said, "Well, Raven, you know, maybe not now." Raven, soft-spoken and all, she constantly echoed that, "Mom, I think it'll be a great idea." And she, her dad and I decided to do it. And it was a matter of just getting it trademarked and then searching for a location that would be able to manufacture the T-shirt. Initially, that place was in Grand Rapids. It was Vector. And we are happy to say we do have a Chicago distributor now, which is One Accord.
Oh, nice.
And they do a great job because we want all of the things to come from Chicago.
Yeah, why not?
It does make sense. It's kind of odd that you have somebody from Grand Rapids putting it together. So now everything is homegrown, so
that's
to speak.
Right.
And why don't you describe, people can go to the website. It's straightfromthego.com. Various styles. There's a lovely picture of Val Warner wearing her Straight From The Go t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
You've been all over the place, haven't you, Raven?
Yes.
Where did it start, though? Where was the first place it was sold?
The first place, well, actually, I was selling them myself, me and my parents.
From her backpack.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
If people wanted a shirt, they would contact us and we'll meet them and just, you know,
make sell the shirt. Right. Yeah.
And, but now we have the shirt in the shop 147 on 72nd Street. Also, we have it in a boutique called Belly Up, and it's one here downtown, and it's also one in Beverly, the Beverly neighborhood by mm-hmm. my school, Morgan Park. So they're sold there as well as the website.
How often do you check in to see how sales are progressing? Is that a daily event or a weekly event or what?
Every day.
Every day.
Yes. I want to say that I think a huge commendation should be given to the Beverly Review. They were the first newspaper to run the story, Kyle being the editor. And then DNA, the gentleman Howard.
DNAinfo.com.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where I heard it. Because it's like, all right, this high school senior makes her own little T-shirt with this great idea with the stars of
yes.
Chicago.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it's like being sold at a Michigan Avenue boutique. And I'm like, you go, sister.
Yes.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
Thank well, you.
Howard was phenomenal. And Raven is kind of shy. But he made her feel so just like they were sitting at a picnic. They met at the Starbucks, and he did a great write-up. So wonderful that I sent a letter in regarding it. We had so much feedback after his article.
That's
Isn't
awesome.
That nice? When this first came to you, Raven, was this part of a school project to think of some ideas, think of an entrepreneurial idea?
No.
Or you just all of a sudden went, I've got something. I can run with this. What happened there?
I was just on my way to school,
yeah.
just driving to school, and it came to me, like,
yeah.
thinking about everything that happens around Chicago on a daily basis. I just got the idea to make a T-shirt with Straight From The Go, being proud of Chicago and where I come from and wanting other people to see it in a positive light.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, there are some very bad aspects of Chicago, that's for sure, but...
Yes.
We're proud of our city, and there are definitely very good parts as well. So way to celebrate it Straight From The Go. Now, they debuted at Proviso West. How did this happen?
Morgan Park's varsity basketball team, they're very top ranked. So we just asked them to wear the T-shirts, and they were very excited because they wanted to support me in what I was doing. So they debuted by coming out on their warm-up during the basketball, before the basketball game, and that's how it debuted. That was the first time people ever saw the shirts. Really.
And wasn't it cool to look out and see, like, all these people wearing your shirts?
Yes, it was so wonderful.
Irina, you said a little while ago you had been diagnosed with something I'd never heard of. What were you diagnosed with?
Sarcoidosis.
And what is that?
It's an autoimmune disease, and it's a rare... more prevalent in African Americans. In fact, it's what Bernie Mac had.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think the long road was just 2 years of trying to be diagnosed, and I finally was. I went ahead. I retired after 20 years working with the city.
Mm-hmm.
So to take this on, I thought, geez, I'm just so tired and all. But I feel renewed, and it has given me a different purpose as well.
Yeah,
I'm so happy and excited about the people and Chicagoans, but just not Chicagoans. But we must realize that Chicagoans are everywhere. People in Atlanta are buying the shirt, New York, Wyoming. And they're saying to us that we thank you for this. I'm from Chicago and I've relocated here. Either my family's from Chicago. It's just wonderful. Yeah. It truly, truly is. The veterans have supported so much so that Raven created a shirt for them. The camouflage shirt.
Their own specialized version.
Yes. Yes.
Look at you. I love the quote that's on the website, which, by the way, if you'd like to order straightfromthego.com, this is a quote from Raven Smith. I created the phrase straight from the go to dispel the belief that Chicago is by nature violent, is by nature a violent city that has no interest in creating a safe community where citizens can live in peace and harmony. And I noticed that proceeds from these T-shirts, why don't you talk about that? Where did they go, of the proceeds?
They go to victims of gun violence. But we've recently also allocated some of the funds to first responders, families, which is the Hundreds Club, which is very, very, we think that that's very significant. We embrace the police because we love them for the job that they do.
It's a tough job, and especially now.
It's a very tough job, so we embrace them as well. So giving to the first responders, it helps, as well as giving to those that are harmed by gun violence. It's a win-win situation.
That makes the story even better. I was reluctant to ask where the proceeds are going because I thought you'd go, I'm keeping it. Are you crazy?
No, no,
but
no.
You're putting it to very, very good use. That's wonderful. Yes. Good.
We're hoping that Straight From The Go will have a day at Comiskey Park and that the proceeds will be given to things just like that. We're hoping that this is going to be huge. It is growing at such a fast rate. We're happy about that. I must say, too, oftentimes when negativity hit a city or so, you find people, Spike Lee and these people, and they latch on.
Yeah.
Chirac, Chicago, it's horrible. We want to see who's going to latch on to Straight From The Go. How about making Chicago positive the way that we know that it is?
Yeah. Oh, so perfect.
I love your message, and I love your style. It would be one thing, Raven, if it's like, okay, we have this great T-shirt, and it's for a good cause. But if it wasn't looking good, it is a sharp-looking T-shirt.
Thank you.
Do you think there will be a future, once this has subsided, is this the type of work you want to go into eventually, designing shirts and that sort of thing, designing clothes?
Well, I'm not going to school for designing clothes, but this is always going to be something that's close to me. I'm going to always want to continue this.
I bet. Good. I hope so.
And a new line of hats coming out soon?
A new line of hats. And every time they're up on the website, they're sold out, but we're getting ready to put some more inventory up. It is Straight From The Go, and they're just wonderful. You should check them out. They're in khaki. We're ordering some in black, white, and navy blue.
And you could do this in other cities. You could go to, like, Kokomo, Indiana, and have Straight From The Mo. I mean, the possibilities are endless. Think about that.
Well, you know, there was someone that contacted us, and she said, why don't you trademark, you know, Straight From, and just go to every city? But you know what we thought? It wouldn't be Straight From Chicago.
Yeah.
We love Chicago.
Right.
And so we want to make Chicago better. And so this is where our heart is.
I never enjoyed the Chirac term, and I certainly hated Chi-Town. Whenever you hear about it, I think the New Year's special that was going on, it was like Chi-Town Rising or something. No one from Chicago calls it Chi-Town.
Right.
Ever.
You know, I must say this. I met an actress yesterday, and in fact, she had auditioned for Chirac, and she said that she had a part in the movie.
Yeah.
And she said that when she said it, they didn't like the way she said it, and they said to her, well, you know, say it with meaning because, you know, Chicago is genocide. And she said at that moment she knew she didn't want to be in the movie. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's
great. So it doesn't stand for genocide. Chicago is what we make it.
Yeah.
And I would tend to believe that there are more positive people than there are negative. Let's
Without
get Chicago moving. Let's go straight from the go, straight from the beginning, straight from the go. All good things come from Chicago.
I am so inspired by you guys. Really, so nice to meet you. Is it Raina?
Raina.
Raina Smith?
Yes.
Okay, and Joshua?
Joshua, he's quiet spoken, but he's here.
But he's here, and he's supporting his lovely Raven Smith, senior at Morgan Park High School. You doing okay grade-wise? Everything good with that?
Yes, I'm a National Honor Society student.
You can do better than that. Come on.
We want to say thanks to Morgan Park and Dr. Epps. I want to tell you guys that last week we were notified that The teachers were, in fact, implementing straight from the go into their curriculum for incoming freshmen.
Really?
Yes. Now, wow. That's exciting.
That's fantastic. Good. Yes.
You should be very proud, Raven. Really, it's a huge thing. And like I said, very good-looking shirt, straight from the go with the Chicago Stars on it. Various colors. I just noticed the new tie-dyed. Is that a brand new one?
It is. Yes. And that tie-dyed, it's inclusive of all. And it's a top seller, actually. It sells out. It's a top seller. We're restocking the inventory there. You can order it online. But it's inclusive of all races, all gender. Every single thing.
Beautiful.
Great job, you guys. Congratulations. Raven, we wanted to meet you and thank you. And Raina, you did a great job. Joshua, you too.
Thank you so much.
We would like to say thank you to WGN. Thank you so very much for having Raven.
Absolutely. Sorry we waited so long.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. And again, the website is straightfromthego.com.
Yes.
Continued success.
Thank you.
A quick break and then more. You're coming your way next. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy Ennis, WGN. Here's a text, Wendy. People say swimmingly all the time. It's from a listener named Michael Phelps.
You think you're funny,
I'm amazed at people like this, like Raven, who is in high school and comes up with an idea and then just does something about it. Because you know how, like, when you were in school, you would have ideas and then you'd go, wouldn't that be something? And then you just end it there.
I still have ideas, but you never know, like, what to do with them.
Right. That's the part. Like, I get the part about having ideas, because we all do, but it's the next step, implementing the idea and turning it into something. That's the part that eludes me.
Yeah, I'm not really good at that either. I have no follow through, basically, is what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
The T-shirts range in price from $15 to $30, and the Straight From The Go hats, $20. Raven is thinking about coffee mugs, cell phone cases, and some of the causes, a portion of all the proceeds go to anti-violence programs. What a great thing.
Yeah, it is.
Plus, like I said, it's a really cool-looking T-shirt and logo. Straight From The Go. Really, I cannot stand Chi-Town.
Right. No, but, and you said this, and it's true. I don't know anybody who lives here who calls it that. I've heard people in other places call it that, but it's not, the people who live here, I would never say, if somebody said to me, where are you from? I would never go, Chi-Town.
With both your fingers pointed.
Right. Because I would want somebody to hit me with an aluminum bat the second I was done with it. It just sounds so pretentious and stupid, and it's not something we say here.
Well, the T-shirt is designed to resemble the Chicago flag. Baby blue shirts debuted December 26, as we mentioned, a Proviso West basketball game. And another saying on her website, I was born and raised in Chicago, and I decided that Chicago must be presented in a positive light.
Right.
So you can click here to shop when you go to straightfromthego.com. And it's really sweet. We got a white one and one to wear at a Grateful Dead show.
Yeah, it's one of those tie-dyed multicolored shirts. And
very popular.
We'll split that. You can have that Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'll take it Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Kevin gets it on Sunday so he can go to church and wear it. Everybody wins.
That seems fair.
Can I? I want to quickly congratulate another young person, a celebrity, Taylor Swift. Did you see what Taylor Swift did, Wendy? This
what
is
now?
Very good. She's won an award, and I guess this is a shock. It was to me anyway. Taylor Swift is the winner of the first annual Taylor Swift Award.
Where's the Bill Leff Award when we need it?
The Taylor Swift Award, it says here, is given to recognize the 26-year-old pop star's incomparable creative and artistic talent and influence on music lovers throughout the world. This according to aceshowbiz.com. Taylor Swift has transformed pop culture through her songs, her artistry, and her spirit. Barbara Kane, vice president of BMI, said in a statement, she's had a profound effect not only musically but also through her personal conviction and commitment to create a standard with values and which respects music and everybody. We felt it appropriate to award Taylor Swift with the honor that is unique and special as she is. Isn't it kind of weird, though, that the award has her name on it and she's the winner of it? I mean, that to me sounds like the fix might have been in.
That's the only way I'm going to win an award, if there's a Wendy Snyder Award.
I'm not positive if there was an award with my name on it that I would even finish in the top 10. I think they'd give it to somebody else. And they'd laugh at me for even submitting a proposal to win the award.
Well, congratulations to Taylor Swift. She is adorable. And I sometimes want to say, oh, my God, I don't like her. How can you not like
her? She's too talented to not like. She's too talented. She's too beautiful. And then I just read, and I don't devote a lot of time reading up on her, but I just happened to see this. She has just had a one-year anniversary with her boyfriend, whose name I don't know. I don't know who he is. Have you seen pictures of her and her boyfriend?
Yeah, I don't know him either.
They're very happy. But until this guy came along, I kept thinking to myself, because she had a lot of troubled relationships, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong, because she's extremely talented and very beautiful and has everything in the world going for her, very stylish. But you know how a lot of times with people, if they have relationship after relationship after relationship, you go, it must be that person. It can't be all the people she's dating, or if it's a guy he's dating, it's got to be something about that person, because why would she be with so many different people in a short span of time?
Well, thankfully, that gave us all of her cute little songs.
Right. She does tend to, once there's a breakup, she'll write a song letting us know that she will never, ever, ever get back together with them again.
Never, ever.
Ever, ever, ever. Never.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame happened last night, too, and some interesting things happened. Can we talk about this after the
Absolutely.
News today?
Yep. All right. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, winners of the Bill and Wendy Award on WGN.
All right, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I am a poser. I have never been there. It's in Cleveland. I gotta go.
I've never been there either, and I don't know why. I've been to Cleveland. It's there. It's ridiculous.
What, did you just make a statement? Yeah, I'm not going.
No,
I'm here.
I was there to work, and I did what I do, and then I went home.
How long has it been there?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been there, I think, 20-something years, hasn't it?
Has it really
something
been there
like that?
Long?
Yeah,
25-ish or so.
Somewhere
I think.
Somewhere in there, right?
I was, I remember when they were building it in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Have you been there, Steve?
I was there, I think, around the outside of it, right? When I was...
Nobody actually goes in. Why would you go in?
I'm placing it because I was traveling with the Bears like around 95.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And I think that's right about when they opened it. So I just remember walking around Cleveland saying, oh, there it is, but didn't go in.
How long does it take to get to Cleveland driving?
8 hours?
Yeah, we're just around there, maybe a little less, but yeah, around 8 hours.
Next summer.
For sure.
I have got to
go. You're going.
I really want to go, and I would have loved to have been at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which I don't know why that didn't happen in Cleveland. It was in New York on Friday night. And
is it always in New York? It should be in Cleveland.
I feel like I'm so unplugged with the whole rock and roll biz. But, you know, Cheap Trick got inducted
in there.
I know
they did. Congrats, boys. You deserve it.
Bun E. Carlos was able to make the trip. He's their drummer.
The estranged drummer. Yeah.
So Rick Nielsen's son has been playing drums, but Bun E. Carlos played that night. No Peter Cetera for Chicago's induction.
I knew that was coming.
And Steve Miller, who I love, the Steve Miller Band.
Uh-huh.
They're coming to town, I want to say Ravinia this summer. And Steve Miller was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Friday night, but he was not, he didn't enjoy it.
What? Why?
Speaking in the press room after his induction, 72-year-old Steve Miller insisted, quote, the whole process needs to be changed. It doesn't need to be this hard. There's nothing fancy going on out there that requires all of this stuff. He complained about access to the event. Here's Steve Miller talking.
Yeah.
When they told me I was inducted, they said, you have two tickets, one for your wife, one for yourself. But what about my band? What about their wives?
Mm-hmm.
If he wanted another ticket, it was $10,000 a ticket.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. And he was in, and that was the price.
He made other accusations concerning legal work.
Try StubHub, Steve Miller. You can get them much cheaper on StubHub.
Steve Miller complained about, he had other accusations concerning legal work and claimed, quote, they need to respect the artists they say they're honoring, which they don't.
I hate to say this. I'm not 100% in his corner, but I could see where if you were getting a big honor like that, you'd want to bring some people to see it. You go, could I get a little break on the tickets? $10,000 a ticket's a little steep.
It does seem weird that, you know, his band couldn't be there.
Right.
And then some.
Oh, Kevin is now telling me that includes a buffet. I did not realize that. So I'm no longer on Steve Miller's side. if there's a buffet, then I get the $10,000 price is warranted.
Well, he was kind of complaining about this, you know, for everyone to hear.
Sure.
And one of the press representatives kind of said, you know, wrap it up. You can wrap this up now. And
Steve, wait, he did this on stage?
This was part of his... an after the event thing. It was like a presser, a press conference.
Oh.
And so one of the press representatives said, you know, you can wrap this up. And Miller's like, no, we're not going to wrap this up. I'm going to wrap you up. Here's what you need to know. This is how close the show came to not happening because of how the artists are being treated right now. And then he announced, I'll wrap it up. And he walked off. I mean, he's PO'd. I get that. But, I mean, the Rock
Hall. He flew like an eagle.
He did.
To the sea.
The Rock Hall issued a statement, and they said, rock and roll can ignite many opinions. It's what makes it so great.
Right.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was honored to induct Steve Miller tonight and congratulates him.
Now, they took the high road. They didn't admit the fact that their pricing policy is a little out of whack.
Yeah, but, you know, Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick had the same issue because he got on stage afterwards to say, I within the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have my eighth and ninth grandkid.
Yeah.
And with the cost of the tickets, it was easy to say, no, you can't come with me.
Right.
So he did it in like a fun way.
Yeah.
And then Gene Simmons recently told Rolling Stones, you know, the Kiss tongue man, he recently told Rolling Stone that he was looking forward to the death of rap and had previously made comments saying rap didn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So NWA's MC Ren sent a message because they were inducted.
Yeah.
And said to the KISS co-founder, I want to say to Mr. Gene Simmons, hip-hop is here forever. Get used to it. Get used to it. We supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the audience at Barclays Center cheered with approval when he said that. I was just having this conversation with my husband and sons because they're like, Yes isn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Now, to me...
They should probably...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge prog rock lover, but Yes has done some great work.
Right.
And look at how long it's taken Steve Miller to get in there. And he's been doing stuff since the 60s.
Don't you think, though, when they made the decision, and they did it early on, because it's more than just rap. There's a couple of other artists who are in there that you go, I'm not positive that they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because their music isn't necessarily rock, but they're in. But that was a conscious effort to open up the doors to get more interest in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
But to me, and I just don't really understand this, because you have your Country Music Hall of Fame, you're not going to find, you know, any rap people in there.
Right.
Is there a Rap Music Hall of Fame?
There'd have to be.
I read somewhere that is there a Blues
Hall of Fame? Yeah, there is. Yeah. But aren't some... There have been a blues artist or two who's been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think.
Because in a way, that's what spawned rock and roll.
Yeah.
But so my son Michael is like, you know, what about the rap people? Should they really be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And I said, well, they've opened up the umbrella to fit in all types of music.
Right.
And that's when he said, is Madonna in there? And I said, yeah. And then I said, she should be. And he goes, why should she be in there? And that's, you know, NWA. And I said, that is a great question that I don't have an answer for.
The Blues Hall of Fame does exist. It's located in Chicago, by the way.
Where, at Buddy Guy's Legends?
I didn't know that. Now I feel guilty for not knowing that. All it says here is that it's located in Chicago, but there's also a museum, a Blues Hall of Fame museum in Memphis, Tennessee. So there's more than one.
All right, I know they're going to be opening up. I just read somewhere Buddy Guy was quoted as they're opening up a blues museum here because there hasn't been one, which seems really stupid.
Yeah.
And quite an oversight, in my opinion. We the home of the blues, Billy.
Yep.
One leg, Billy.
It's funny you say that because I'm looking at the members of the Blues Hall of Fame, and many of their first names are blind.
Oh, yeah.
There's three different guys. Blind Lemon Jefferson. In 1980 was inducted into the Blues Hall of Fame. Blind Willie McTell in 1981. And then who was the third guy? There was a third guy named Blind Something.
Blind Melon?
Blind Blake. Not Blind Melon are not in there. And the group Level or Blinds is also in there too. But in 1990, Blind Blake. So if your name is Blind, if your first name is Blind, you have a very good chance of being in the Blues Hall of Fame.
Blind Billy Love?
Yes. He's up for election next year.
All right. Well, I just want to know what people think about this, because I don't ever really want to be on the side of Gene Simmons.
No, you can't escape it at this point.
But it's kind of, I don't know, rap music, why can't there be like...
You could have a wing devoted to it. It could still be the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but you could be in the rap section, I guess. And I don't know how maybe they do divide it that way.
But like
know.
A rhythm and blues, is that the category that rap falls in? You know what I mean? Is there a rhythm and blues museum? See, I don't know how they do this, because really, Madonna, if you talk about rock and roll, I don't know if
it's
she
more
is.
Pop than it
right.
is rock.
Why isn't there a pop museum?
There, I would go to the
pop rock
I
museum.
The pop rock museum would be great. You just can't get it wet; it'll fizzle out. All right, we will continue to discuss this and other pressing matters next. If you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Leffin, it's Wendy Snyder. We're talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony that'll be broadcast in a couple of weeks. It took place over the weekend. Now, here's what I've noticed. It's the only Hall of Fame induction ceremony where year after year after year after year, there's some sort of controversy or anger issues. And I think it's just the nature of music. Whatever band gets voted in, one guy or two guys go, well, I'm not going to that because the other guys are there, and those guys are jerks, so I'm not going to be there with them.
Well, that is vexing Stephen Van Zandt, little Stevie, our friend.
He is our friend.
Whom you hugged.
I would hug him again. If he walked through the door right now, I'd give him a second hug.
Burt Burns was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Deserved.
As the recipient of the Ahmet Erdogan Award for Lifetime Achievement, Stephen Van Zandt, a longtime fan of Burns, gave the speech that welcomed him. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know who Burt Burns was,
but
his
on.
Real first name is Bertrand.
Oh, it is?
Yes, I thought that was interesting.
Huh.
Even though Burns was only in the music business for 7 years before his death in 1967 at the young old age of 38, his catalog hits impressive. He wrote or produced such rock and roll soul classics as Twist and Shout by the Isley Brothers and the Beatles.
Yeah.
Van Morrison's Brown Eyed Girl. Tell 'em by the Exciters. I love that song. Tell 'em that you're never gonna love him.
That's a great song.
Hang on Sloopy by the McCoys featuring Rick Derringer, who Kevin just played Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo. I feel like I'm back on the loop.
Yeah.
Here Comes the Night, Them.
I don't think I know that song, do I?
Is Here that, Comes the Night. Yes, and Them, wasn't that Van Morrison's? Yeah, that didn't help you. I'm sorry. You'd know it if you heard it.
All right.
Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters,
oh, sure.
Peace of My Heart, Janis Joplin and Irma Franklin, who did it originally. And two songs for Solomon Burke that were later covered by the Stones, Everybody Needs Somebody to Love and Cry to Me.
Great songs, both. So he, on all that list, he either wrote or produced or both on a lot of those. Wow.
And then
all of those.
The 31st Annual Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, Friday night, New York, inductees included Chicago, NWA, Cheap Trick, Deep Purple, Steve Miller, and Burt Burns, and a special surprise performance by David Byrne.
Oh, good.
From Talking Heads.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, right? I know last year when we did the story, there were a couple of bandmates who didn't want to join in, and the year before that, and the year before that. It's like that's a given whenever a band is brought into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Somebody from the band goes, I'm not sitting with those guys.
I know, and that's really heartbreaking to me because, you know, whether or not you're still together, this is how you got your start.
Yeah.
And to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, to me, I think would be a huge privilege.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Swallow your pride. Stay together for the night.
Right.
Like Bon E. Carlos, the drummer of Cheap Trick, they have not been hanging out.
Right.
But they extended the invitation to him, and...
Is he the one, when we've talked to Rick Nielsen twice, we're reminded just moments before going on the air that we're not to mention him, right? Kevin, can you back me up on that? When we've had Rick Nielsen on twice in the last 2.5 years, hasn't there been warning from either him or somebody saying...
I don't think so, because Rick's pretty open about anything.
Yeah, I thought they told us we couldn't ask any questions about him or anyone named Bun E.
Middle initial E.
By the way, that's on purpose, right? he did that to be funny.
I would imagine.
All right, because that doesn't just happen by accident. Your name's not Bun E.
I haven't checked his birth certificate, so I'm not quite sure.
We tried to book him the week of Easter, and he was too busy to come on with us.
And we talked to Terry Kath from Chicago's Daughter, and she was there.
Yeah.
And Peter Cetera was a part of Chicago, and they had some kind of, I've heard both sides of it, where, you know, he wanted to do some ballads that feature his high voice, because he was the voice of Chicago, and the other members wanted to be more rocking, because it is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I know.
But you'd think you could just kind of pull it together and just suck it up for one night.
For a couple of hours.
Yeah.
You're paying $10,000 a ticket.
Well, they give you two tickets.
Okay, they give you two, but if you brought, let's say your aunt's in town from Missouri and she wants to come, so you're down $10,000 right there. So just put a smile on your face for a few hours, pretend you get along, and then when it's done, bash the other people in your band.
I don't even think bash them. Just, you know what? Whether you get along now or not, you have to think about where it all began.
Right, right.
Seriously.
That's true. No, that's absolutely true.
So, I don't know. I can't wait to watch that. And I believe it's on April 30th, I want to say. Kevin, I need help finding a date of when the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concert, the induction
ceremony. That's too long.
Ceremony.
I want to see it immediately. I need to see it while it's still hot.
Why can't they get it on sooner?
It sounds to me like it could be a live, I don't know why this wouldn't be a live thing. You've got some of the greats of music, and they all performed. Only one band didn't perform. I think what's rap band is in
NWA.
There? NWA. I think they're the ones that did not perform. I think everybody else did. But this lends itself perfectly to live TV. I don't know why they wouldn't have run it that way.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but I can't wait to see it. In 31st induction ceremony. I don't have when it's on, but we'll find that out.
If it's the 31st induction ceremony, that would almost imply that they've been around. They do one a year, so it's been there for 31 years, right? Because you asked earlier how long the museum's been up.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
April 30th.
Okay.
Actually, I think they had the ceremonies before they opened the museum for
A little bit? Yeah.
I think so.
So that they would have exhibits ready to throw in there when
and
the museum opened?
And then they had one in Cleveland and then went back to New York.
Oh.
Is there a little kiosk or some kind of tape up where you viewed the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame from the outside, Steve?
Oh, what? It was a big area. It was like a Monday night game, and I just walked around downtown Cleveland all day.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, there it is over there. It was on the lakeshore.
I have plenty to see that. I don't need to rush.
I don't know if it was opened yet, you know, if it was
just
about open.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
For once. Just kidding.
For once.
I'm kidding.
All right.
But April 30th, HBO, 7 p.m. Central Time. So
good.
I will be looking forward to that.
All right. A quick break. Steve with the news and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Was that your idea? You're pretty good, Bill.
That's not me. That's on Kevin.
Wow, Kevin, you should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Thanks.
Or the Hemsworth Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, he'll be fighting with himself that week and will not show up.
Well, we're going to talk about tweeting. You're not a Twitterer.
I'm not on Twitter.
Well, you are.
I am? I don't...
You guys are, yeah.
All right.
Well, our show is...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Bill and Wendy's
show.
And
you are also solo.
Yeah, but he is too, if you notice.
Oh, he is. And yeah, that's right.
But he doesn't do anything.
No.
So follow him, people.
It would be the worst follow on Twitter history.
I think you have a fun profile picture, and that's about
do
it.
Do I?
It's Schroeder.
I don't know that
who put that on there?
Yeah.
Somebody did your account?
I guess. It's not me.
Is there another Bill left?
Probably.
Is it the aviation expert?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Are you related to him?
No. No.
Do you know who I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
from the Bill Left Flyers. We're separate entities.
See, he could give a Bill Leff award and give it to you.
I'd accept that award proudly.
All right. Well, good. All right. Well, there are tweeting acronyms, which I think could be used for texting as well. Like LOL, you know what that means,
Laugh
right?
out loud. I know that one. This is to save people time, right? Is
yes.
that the purpose of them?
I wonder if these are going to be on the ACT now.
Oh.
I'm serious.
That'd be helpful. Because I would have no idea. I know that one, but most of the stuff, you know, I don't know what they mean.
All right, I bet Kevin's going to win this one if I pit you guys against each other.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm positive.
I don't know where to start. Well, I'll give this one to you, B. Bill, this you should know this.
What is it?
BTW.
By the way.
That's the easiest one.
Yeah, but it's Bill.
Okay. I know that one.
All right. You got two right. B/C.
Because?
Oh, my God. You are 3 for 3.
It is because?
Oh, I don't know where to go with this. This could be so fun. You might know this, too. I-M-H-O.
Imho. I'm a hoe. Is it I'm a hoe? It is, isn't it? No? Should be. Because anytime I've seen that, I always just assume that it's a woman of loose morals. Or a man.
Kevin, you know this. This one's easy.
Is it
in
I'm
my
a hoe?
Humble opinion.
In my humble opinion.
I'm a hoe.
You can use
hoe.
It that way, too, though, if that context comes up for you quite a bit. I mean, I don't know what you're tweeting about.
JK?
JK Rollins? JK Simmons. Does that mean I got a note from J.K. Rollins or J.K. Simmons?
No, come on. Kids say it all the
just
time.
Just kidding?
Yes.
Is it just kidding?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You kind
just of... Just kid. So J.K. Rollins, his name is Just Kidding Rollins?
Shut up. L-M-K.
Be like Mike. Like Mike.
Oh, that's a good guess, though.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Really, it's not a good guess. The letters match, but that's all.
All right, you know this one, Steve, don't you?
L-M-K?
Yeah.
It's easy.
What is it?
Let me know.
Yeah. Oh, let me know. Oh,
you're so with it, Bertrand.
I should have had that one.
Well, you notice Bertrand was gone and he came back because he thought he could outshine everyone.
He's a tweeter, too, though.
I know. L-M-A-O.
Oh, that's...
Last my apostrophe off.
It's laugh my rear end
arse.
Off. Yeah, that's what it is. Isn't
your
it?
Rear end. Yeah. How old are you?
I'll be 83 in November. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, I got that one.
This one I just learned, and Kevin taught it to me. NSFW.
I know this one.
We learned this together.
I know this one.
Kevin
I love
taught
that
us
you knew this.
This
one.
It means not safe for work.
Right.
And I know it because a lot of times on Huffington Post or similar websites, there will be some story, and it would say NSFW, and I thought they were like doing the directions. Like, that's not how you do northeast, west, and south. What are you doing? But it's not safe for work.
Right. I never heard that
it's one
before.
It's a warning that your boss could be monitoring what you're looking at.
OMG.
Oh, my God. Or oh, my gosh. If right. you're not religious.
There's another variation of that, but I'm not going to say it.
It's OM something G, right?
FG.
It's a little more pointed.
Yes.
Yeah.
IRL.
Oh, that's who does the taxes. That's the tax people.
No, and it's not URL, which is the
right.
web address.
Right.
IRL.
The International Rodeo League? Is that what it is?
I want that to be a real thing.
Boy, no wonder he doesn't tweet.
I should not be on the Twitter.
Steve, do you know this one?
IRL, Steve?
IRL.
My friend is Earl.
Is that what it is?
In real life.
Yes. Which I want to know when you use that.
That never comes
like,
up, ever.
Like, I am hot as hell. IRL, not so much.
Like, okay, just an example. If you had a ton of followers, you yeah. could say, I also have a ton of friends, IRL.
Oh, I guess.
Oh, in real life. TMI?
Too much information. Right?
Yes.
Be honest. So far, I've gotten way more than you thought I would
yeah,
get.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. And there were some I was right on the fence on, like the International Rodeo League that you chose not to give me. But I bet if there's an International Rodeo League, they are the IRL.
YW.
YW. Way. Right? YW?
It goes with TY.
Oh, is it you're welcome?
Yeah.
It's you're welcome? Yeah.
You are really astounding me.
Oh, thanks.
Seriously. Again, these are some of the top Twitter acronyms, abbreviations, and initialisms.
All to save time, except if you tweeted me something with any of those, it would use up more time because I'd have to look them up because I wouldn't know what any of them
were. I actually do that sometimes.
Do you have to?
Yeah, sometimes I have to Google these.
I know it's supposed to be a time saver, but it's a time waster.
RT?
Route? Is it? It's not.
No.
Wait, he says, is it?
He's cute.
Rob Thomas?
No.
He's pretty popular on Twitter.
If you tweet something, this would be RT.
Oh.
Retweet.
Yep.
Oh. Retweet. Oh, okay. I forgot that that existed.
SOB, you know that.
I know that one all too well. Enough with that one already. I get it.
That means cry.
Yeah.
Sob.
Sob.
WTF, you know that.
What the heck?
There is a WTH as well.
Yeah, what the heck?
How about this? You've said this for years before people thought it was hip to say it. You sort of invented this.
What?
YMMV.
YMMV. What could that be?
Kevin doesn't know either. You started saying this before anybody used it as a joke.
Your mama.
Is it your? Does it start with your mama?
No.
No?
It's your.
Your.
MMV.
Your.
Monday morning veterinarian.
Your Monday morning vet. No, that's not it, Kevin. Is it?
I've never seen this used, but honestly, you've said this. I give you credit because everybody says it in a joke. I've used it in a joke.
And I was the first to say it, and I don't know what it is. Why MMV? And it starts with your, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What could that be? I don't know what it is.
Your mileage may vary.
Oh, right. Well,
who tweets that?
It started Bill. Being said in car commercials because they would tell you what your mileage is on the highway and then in the city.
Right, but then you put it into the regular vernacular.
Right, I would just say it for anything.
Like, hey, be the fifth caller at this number. Right. Your mileage may vary.
Right. Yeah, it's just a fun thing to say. But how come I'm not getting residuals on that, then?
I don't know.
Get some money for that.
I have a couple more. Can we take a break and go through these? You are really surprising
So
me.
Far, I've done okay, right?
Yep. Pretty proud of you,
All right, more of these in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, B&W on WGN.
We're talking about the top Twitter acronyms, abbreviations, and initialisms. And a lot of people use these on texts as well. And, Bill, you have surprised me because you've really done way better than I thought.
I think I've gotten more than half so far, which is even more than I thought I would get.
All right, let's try this one.
All right.
It's kind of long.
That's all right.
A-F-A-I-K.
A-F-A-I-K?
Kevin's
Kevin, do you
dying
know this?
To blurt it.
You
yeah.
do know this
I
one?
I do know it.
Bertrand, do you know it?
As far as I'm concerned?
Close.
A-F-A-I-K.
As far as I know.
Oh, Ew. My God.
I got it.
You have just hipped yourself into the 21st century.
I shocked myself, and I'm embarrassed that I said concerned first, because I know... Concern doesn't start with a K. But you know how these kids are.
Right.
Ultra hip.
BFN.
Boyfriend for now?
No.
Temporary boyfriend?
You got the last two words right.
Boyfriend. No. What is it?
BFN. We will say this at the end of the show.
Bye for now.
Yep.
Is it bye for now? Yeah. Wow.
Either we would make the best.
right. We should be on the pyramid with the Lick Dick Clark.
Bill's a secret tweeter.
I think so.
You're a closet tweeter, Bill.
That's a
there's
CT.
There's a time where tweeter. Being accused of that would have put me in jail, but not anymore. Thank you, 21st century.
Phil is a CT.
I'm a secret tweeter.
Closet.
Yeah. Closet tweeter.
Soft C.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, S, that would be ST. You're having problems with your letters
I'm
now.
So into this game, I can't think of anything else.
All right, BR.
I
don't like this one.
BR.
A lot of people sign an email like this.
BR. Oh. Batman and Robin.
Oh, I know it now.
Is it Batman and Robin?
No, a lot of people just would do R.
Regards?
Best regards.
Right, so best regards.
Oh, man.
Please stop doing that, people, on the end of your emails.
Sounds so dated, doesn't
regards.
It?
Regards. Regards to what? What are you talking about?
I don't know what that means.
DM. Send me a DM so I can...
Oh, no. I was going to say Danny Murtaugh, who was the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates, but why would you want to abbreviate his name? That's a waste of everybody's time, isn't it? Danny Murtaugh. Gotta go, Danny Murtaugh.
If I'm tweeting somebody and I want to find out where's the best place to buy lettuce,
yeah,
I would say DM me.
DM me? I don't know what that sounds.
I don't know why I'd buy the best
you're
lettuce.
You're a married woman. Why would you want somebody to do that?
You set that up for failure too there, Wendy.
DM. I don't know.
I tried to make it easier.
I don't think you did.
Kevin?
Direct message.
Direct message meaning call me? Is that a way of saying call me? What's direct message?
Well, send me a direct message so you don't post it for the whole world to see.
It's funny that like the ones that are five letters he's able to figure out. But
I know.
The two-letter ones are giving you a hard time.
Well, it's too hard, the short ones.
All right, I don't know if we did this one yet. FWIW.
FWIW. I don't know that one.
It's a song by Buffalo Springfield.
Is it? No, it's not, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
For
who I was.
The bell tolls.
For whom I was.
For what it's worth.
For what it's worth.
Yes.
Oh, Kevin.
Very
I
good.
I would not have had that one without Kevin.
HTH.
How the heck?
No.
It's not?
No, but I that'd be
you
cute.
You can accept that one, right?
Yeah, but that's not. Like, if I give you instructions and then I put HTH.
Hard to handle.
Is it hard to handle?
No.
I don't know this one.
Really?
It sounds like What the Rock is on.
I don't get that.
HGH.
Oh.
That's like it's a performance-enhancing drug.
Hope that helps.
Oh.
Hope that helps, I guess.
HTH.
All right.
I'm going to be texting you that a lot.
All right. That's
hope
fine.
That helps.
Yeah.
CX.
Ooh, CX.
It's shortened for something because sometimes you will put like WX is weather, TFX is traffic, CX.
Oh, wait, I might know now.
What?
Well, no.
What do you think it is, Kevin?
It wouldn't make sense. CrossFit or cross-examine?
Cross-check. Cross-check?
No, correction.
Correction.
Oh, that's dumb.
That is dumb.
No.
All right, I think we might be finished here. You've done way better than I thought.
I did all right. I'm happy with it. Now, can I throw some? These are just off the top of my head, but these are, like, a lot of times I'll go to websites that deal with movies or television shows, and people will be commenting on various TV shows or movies, but they don't spell out the title. They just give an acronym for the title. So these are all either movies or TV shows. See if you can get any of these. I just did a couple of them. LOTR. If somebody's talking about LOTR, what would they be talking about?
Love on the Rocks.
No. Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
Speaking my language here. You don't know?
Oh, Lord of
the
Rings.
The Rings. Lord of the Rings.
I almost said Lord of Thrones.
It's not Lord of Thrones.
Like,
it's not
Lord of Thrones. Put those two together.
What would they be talking about if they were referring to AMC?
American Movie Classics.
Nope. It's a TV show.
All My Children.
It's not, yeah, I was just going to say
old.
It's no longer on.
No one will get that.
GMA.
Good Morning America.
Good Morning America. GOT.
I know.
Got Milk?
No, GM would be Got Milk.
So
if somebody says they're the GM of a company, it means they have to get milk. What did you say, Kevin?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones.
All right, I should have known that.
And then the last one I have is kind
T-W-D.
Of a trick on it. No, NCIS. What is that? You know, there's that show NCIS, so what does NCIS mean?
I don't know.
New
crime
investigation
system.
I think it's naval.
You don't
crime.
Even know. Oh, somebody's tweeting me right now, and that vibrated my pocket.
I'm pretty sure. Do you want to be alone for a few minutes?
No, I'm good.
Kevin, let's go get something to drink. I think it's Naval Crime Investigation Services.
Naval,
isn't it? I think it is.
Like belly button.
Yeah, yeah. Do you watch the show?
Why is it naval?
Because that's what they do. They're in the Navy. They can sail the seven seas in the Navy.
I thought they were just a crime scene investigation. I didn't know it was a naval.
No, I think it's always naval based, I think.
Oh, I might start watching it.
Because they ride around in a little boat.
Like the Tidy Bowl Man?
Yeah. Hmm. It's more fun that way. Yeah. Well, you got more of those than I thought you'd get.
Yeah, and TWD, that's easy.
TWD.
Watch it every week.
Oh, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Wow, I almost didn't get that one, and I do watch it every week. You almost stumped me with that one.
But that,
ironically.
If you watch Talking Dead afterwards, you could see, because he has all the hashtags and all that.
Oh,
so
yeah, yeah.
It makes it easier.
Yeah.
It's weird to put things into hashtag lingo.
Right, right. And I know I've told you this, but my worst episode with these things were, there was a video game website that I used to go to, and I would play pool on it. I would play billiards on this video game website. And there was a box at the bottom where you could talk to whoever you were playing against. So you would be thrown up against somebody that you never met before, and then you'd play pool against them, and you could have this box, and you would type stuff in. And people would always put, at the very beginning, ASL. And I would...
Oh, are they swearing at you?
That's what I thought. I was always like, God, I didn't even start playing this guy, and he hates me. Why is everybody on this website so mean? And it means age, sex, location. They wanted to know how old I was, if I was a man or a woman, and where I'm located. But I thought time and time again, every time they did that, I'm like, the people on this pool website are the rudest people I've ever encountered.
I would have thought that they were calling me the A word,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's what I was sure of.
Who cares your age, sex, and location?
I don't understand that either. I guess it's just so you know who you're playing and you can talk about whatever you want to
Who tells the truth coming back with that?
I guess so. I never even... See, that's another thing. I didn't know that the internet at the time was just a den of lies. I had no idea. So I would I'd give them my home address. Come on by. We've got cake. You want some cake? I know you were mean to me, but I have cake. Come
you
on by.
See, you're like me. Try to win people over.
Yeah, it doesn't
always
work.
You don't want them calling you the A word.
No. I just want to play pool. All right.
And have cake.
That's all I want. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have. They're coming in next. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.